From the capital of talk radio, New York. This is The Right Perspective with John from Staten Island and Vintage Frank from Queens. The Right Perspective from North America.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Right Perspective.
I'm
John of Staten Island, and we've got our substitute host with us tonight, Cheryl of New Jersey.
And we go.
And that's because our good friend Frank had to be away on some personal business this week. He will be back next week. And we may have the news guy call in, and we'll have a threesome here.
There we go.
A political threesome.
You got
to be exact. So he may call in. He'll call in whenever he wants. We also may have a guest to do a follow-up on this story about Barack Obama really not being an American citizen and really ineligible to run for president. Phil Berg may. He may call in. It's not likely, but he may call in at 10:30 to give us an update on how it's going, because supposedly now he's got some audio of Barack Obama's grandmother saying that he was born in Kenya.
I'd love to hear that. I certainly would, because Phil Berg has come on The Right Perspective. Frank of Queens, John of Staten Island, spoke with him. He presented his evidence. He is in court. He is filing his papers. He is bringing this before the American public, and he has been working on this assiduously, putting together his documents, his evidence, indisputable. And this Barack Obama, who only associates with the worst types of people, he is ineligible to even run for senator from Illinois. And why the drive-by media and all of the in-the-tank TV stations and all of the newspapers and all of the accessory people around him who just fawn all over everything that Barack Obama does, they have not publicize this. So I certainly am hoping that Mr. Berg does give a call, that he comes on the line, and we certainly would be so happy to have him present more and more to back up all of his claims, which I feel are totally correct. He
Certainly starting to look legit, aren't they, Cheryl?
Oh, yeah. He documented everything.
And the news guy's done a terrific job in trying to get a hold of him. I know he left a few messages for him to get in touch with us if he has the time to give us the update, and we'll find out. But, you know, they have these hearings going on in Washington now about this financial debacle, and they're claiming to try and get to the bottom of this, of who was really at fault. And it's headed, of course, by a Democrat, Henry Waxman, congressman from California. Like, we're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to really find out who's responsible, with a left-wing, America-hating, blame-America-first type Democrat in Henry Waxman. We're chairing the, being the chairman of this hearing, trying to find out what happened. Now, they seem to be blaming everybody and everything but whom they should be blaming. Oh, Wall Street's at fault. CEOs are at fault. The banks are at fault. Everybody's at fault except the people who are at fault. And we all know who that is. I'm not saying that there wasn't some shenanigans on Wall Street. You know, there could be some things to be straightened out there as well. But I always go back to what really caused this meltdown. And it really is a Democrat fiasco. And unfortunately, it seems to only work one way. When a Republican is in the White House, he gets all the blame. when a Democrat is in the White House like Clinton was, the Republicans still got the blame because they were accusing Bill Clinton of fiascos. And that's because the media is totally one-sided. And poor John McCain is taking the brunt of this unfortunate situation on Wall Street. And he's not the one. He's one of the ones, along with President Bush, that tried to warn what was going on. And he's somehow being blamed. So we need a change from an R to a D. And what we're really going to get, if Barack Obama wins next a week from Tuesday, we'll be going from an R to a C, from a Republican to a communist.
That's the word. You said it, John.
And what they should be putting the blame, we know who's to blame for this, folks. It's been put it right at the feet of the Democrats. Those two jokers who were running Fannie Mae, Chris Dodd, Maxine Waters, and the guy who's most at fault for this. And we know who that Barney Frank.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the arrogant Barney Frank, who, instead of just keeping his mouth shut, and I don't want to get into that either.
No, don't. That's why I started laughing.
But he comes out this week and says, we're going to have to go into some more spending, and then we're going to have to raise tax on the rich people again to pay for all that spending. Oh. Yeah, he should be in jail along with Franklin Raines, who was the head of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And all those Democrats who put their head in the sand. And the Republicans who were trying to warn against this should be given a Medal of Honor. The Republicans should be wiping the floor with the Democrats a week from next Tuesday, not the other way around. The heroes are being vilified. What a shame. What an outrage. Prophets without honor. That's what those Republicans who were trying to warn against this, that's what they are, prophets without honor. President Bush tried to do something about this, too. And you have Wall Street with these wild fluctuations. You know, one minute it's up 500 points, the next minute it's down 5. You know, it looks like it's going to be a good day on Wall Street. Then at the last minute it closes 300 points down. Then it's down 350 points. And then in the last hour it goes up 500 points. And it's because of uncertainty. And a lot of the uncertainty now, it turns out, is because people don't like communists being in the White House. They don't like people who talk about raising the capital gains tax. They don't like people who admit that raising the capital gains tax would be a bad thing for Wall Street, but in his mind, more money is going to come into the Treasury for him to spread around for, and let's face it, folks, and this is what's going on, for his black brothers and sisters.
That's right. Yeah.
The White House is going to be used as a bully pulpit for revenge against white people and the spreading around of your white money to his black buddies. That's what it comes down to. He's come right out and admitted it. And Frank was right. When he talks about wealthy people, you can substitute the word white for wealthy. And don't call me a racist for saying it, because Barack Obama, when he says white man's greed keeps a world in need, well, is that not racist? We're not supposed to respond in kind? Was it white man's greed that sent $48 billion to his beloved Africa? Today he was talking about Africa as well. We've got to help people in Africa. He's going to use the United States Treasury not only to spread your money around to his black brothers and sisters, who don't even want to stay in school to get an education, because to get an education makes you subservient to the white man, and we don't want to obey those white teachers because that makes us a slave. Again, as that teacher is Jewish and white, that's a double no-no. When the schools were run by mostly the Jews here in New York, it was a tremendous school system. We had the best public school system in the world. But the blacks in this city got jealous because they hate Jews so much. So many of them hate Jews. A majority of blacks are anti-Semitic. And I have the polls to prove it. I don't just say things. I always have stuff to back it up. And I've got it in my black racism file. That's what I call it. I've got them all listed. They didn't like the fact that these Jews were running the school system. So they screamed and hollered, you know, the mob rule, and the school system caved in, and they started to give local control to all of our schools, and it broke them up into a number of different districts, and every school that's run by blacks is a disaster. Everything's being stolen. There's nothing being taught, and it really unnerves me and makes me very angry when I hear the Democrats say, the Republicans don't care as much about education. They're always talking about education, the Democrats. They're the ones who ruined the school system. Who lowered the standards so that blacks and minorities could pass when they really didn't pass? Who ruined discipline in the school? Because to discipline a black or Hispanic student is racist. And if you discipline them, the thug mother and father want to come down to the school and not discipline their two-bit thug son or daughter. No, they want to beat up the teacher because the teacher's white most of the time. And if the teacher is black and they discipline the black child, if it's, I don't know, whether it's a guy or a girl, it doesn't make any difference. The mothers are just as bad as the men today. You know, these female black thugs are just as bad as their female or their male husbands. They're both thugs. It's a thug team. You know, they used to call tag teams. Well, this is a thug team. They come down. They want to beat up the white teacher for disciplining their thug white kid. You know, the teachers are always wrong, and this piece of filth animal student kid is being picked on by a white teacher is racist. Everything's racist.
Everything is racist.
The school system racist. The teacher's racist. Everybody's racist except the real racists, who are the blacks, who hate white people and don't want to take orders from white people. And that's why they don't get the education, so they don't get the jobs. And they say themselves, hey, what you pass that test for? You're acting white. Okay, I won't pass the test, but when I don't get the job that you think I should get, then don't say whitey's getting all the jobs. Because when it comes time to get into the real world and you have to go look for a job, employers are going to look for the people who have that high school diploma. They're going to look for the people who have a college degree and who didn't, you know, go to school to get their defiance diploma instead of their academic diploma. So you can't have it both ways. You can't put your fellow students down saying you're acting white. You want them to fail so that they're not acting white. And then complain when you don't get the good jobs. But these thugs who run the school system, and I'm talking about not the teachers, some of them are thugs too, and the principals, the thugs who are really running the school teachers are the parents of minority students. Because they know they can't discipline these black kids and Hispanic kids who are causing all the trouble. So the Democrats who always talk about education are the ones who ruined the school system. The kids can't write their own name. They don't even know what the word sentence means. They know the grammar, forget it. Grammar's out. I mean, you hear the way that these kids speak today. They don't know a noun from an adverb. They could never break down a sentence like we used to have to do in school. They don't know what the hell a times table is. They can't add two and two without a calculator. But they sure know, they know how to put a condom on a cucumber, though. So who started all of that? The Democrats ruined the educational system. And then they keep talking about more and more money for the school system. What's the sense? If the money just goes to administer, it goes for administration purposes, or it goes to buy new laptop computers to replace the ones that were stolen by the teachers and other people who work in the school. As that story I read to you a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week, about the laptop computers being stolen out of the school. I have a whole file on New York City school scandals. You wouldn't believe. Well, I'm not talking millions of dollars, folks. I'm talking probably over the years now, the last 20 years, billions of dollars being stolen from the school system by the people who work in the schools. So I don't want to hear the Democrats talking about education or any other subject. The reason you have health care so expensive today is because these lawyers are constantly trying to sue doctors who have to have these high insurance rates or malpractice insurance policies because they're going to get sued by Democrats with these frivolous lawsuits, these lawyers with these frivolous lawsuits, and those lawyers inevitably contribute to Democrat causes.
So the
Democrats don't want tort reform because they want that money to continue to come in from the lawyers who are always suing these doctors. The very people who have caused the problem in the educational system, in our health care system, they're the ones who keep talking about health care and education, and nobody throws these things back in their faces. They caused all of these problems. Every problem we have to solve in this country was caused by Democrats, Cheryl.
It sure was.
The health care problem, the educational problem, this is a financial disaster.
Real estate.
Everything.
Everything.
Everything is their fault, and the Republicans have allowed them to beat them over the head with everything, every disaster that was caused by them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I keep hearing John McCain on the campaign trail. We're going to solve this greed on Wall Street and these excesses. Why don't you talk about who caused the whole damn problem? And he said recently to a group that he spoke in front of that you're going to hear us bring up the names of the people who were involved.
We're going to stop.
And he named them one time. Have you heard him mention Chris Dodd's name recently?
Never.
Since that last time he mentioned them?
No.
Or Barney Frank? No. He went back to the same old mantra. Yeah, we know we have a financial crisis, Senator McCain. We know that. We heard you say, well, people are suffering. Why don't you talk about why they're suffering? They're suffering because this was caused by Democrats. And I'm going to get into an article here. And it's kind of a long article, but it'll open up your eyes, folks. And I think it's necessary to read this because every different angle is coming out now. There's more news coming out about how Republicans in the past tried to stop this. Going way back, they could see it coming. And the article here, it's called Spreading the Virus, How Acorn and Its Dem Allies Built the Mortgage Disaster by Stanley Kurtz. And this is from October 11th, last Monday. But we'll get into that in a couple of minutes, and I'll let Cheryl say a few words here because I don't want to hog the microphone.
I appreciate that, John. First of all, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks for coming down again at the last minute. What a savior. She came in with her angel wings. You know, she took them off, hung them on the rack here.
There you go. It's a tremendous compliment to know that Frank is happy that I am filling in for him. And this is such a big time, close to election. There is so much to say, so many important items to be focused on. And what John is presenting to you, you have to keep right in front of you. The idea is so big that the media has not told us the truth, the televisions, the newspapers, they have not brought this to the forefront. This mess with the real estate, just to give out a mortgage to people who don't qualify for the mortgage, these subprime mortgages, they call them. They said it's not nice to redline. You have to discriminate. Discrimination is okay. There's nothing wrong with discrimination. Why should somebody who does qualify for a mortgage go through the whole rigmarole to buy a house, to work, to pay the mortgage, and then have a neighbor move in who totally does not qualify to bring down all of the property values in the entire neighborhood? It's okay to discriminate. If that person...
You know, Cheryl, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you bring up a good point.
Go ahead.
The word discrimination has gotten a bad name. It's in the dictionary for a reason. It's not always bad to discriminate. discrimination means that when you discriminate, you help avoid problems sometimes, because not everybody's qualified for everything, no matter what. We discriminate every day when we go shopping. We pick a red sweater instead of a blue sweater or whatever. There's nothing wrong with discrimination. You pick something that you like because you like it, not because somebody's telling you, you better pick that because we have to have a certain amount of blue sweaters being worn. Otherwise, it's unfair to those people who like the color blue. So there's the left always controls the language, and we've got to stop. We've got to stop allowing them to control the language. And when Cheryl's finished, a lot of you may not have heard the audio from Andrew Cuomo, and he's another one who should be in jail, because he was the HUD secretary under Bill Clinton, and it goes back that far. And he comes right out and says that he knows, you may not have heard these audio sound bites, but you're going to. He comes out and he says, we know that they're going to default on these loans, but we've got to give them to them anyway, just so that we won't be called bigots. You see what that word, that R word, has done to this country? And then they claim that blacks have no power in America. Well, they've got a disproportionate amount of power, and that's what's going to be the ruin of this country. And I can only say that the Congress under Abraham Lincoln should be reanimated and hung for not sending blacks back to where they came from, because they didn't want to lay the money out, because it would have avoided all of this problem. And this is not to say there aren't a lot of good blacks in America. There are. But they're, unfortunately, folks, they're in the minority and they're put down by their own people. You will never have blacks in this country ever be happy. Because as long as Democrats keep them down, and as long as they try to make them out to be bigots, and they play the class warfare game, and they say they don't have something because Whitey's at fault, they're never going to be happy in this country. And until Whitey finally rises up and says enough is enough, and the only way you're going to solve it is by violence, well, that could be the destruction of the country. So we're in for... I used to say... you know, I'm glad I won't be around to see the demise of this country. But you know what? We may be around to see the demise of this country if this devil gets in the White House. This anti-American, anti-white bigot who wants to use the White House as a lectern to get back at Whitey. And that's all he's talking about. He comes right out and says it. He can't say it in direct terms, but you see, we all have the power of where we can decipher what he's getting to. But we know what he's getting to. We're not stupid. He may think we are. But we're going to have to really, really be on our guard for the next 4 years. Hopefully it won't be as bad in the Senate. The Republicans will win back the Senate, because they're only, it's basically tied with a Republican vice president right now. But if we can pick up a couple of Republican Senate seats, it'll help keep a backwater against these Democrat thugs. God forbid they get a veto-proof Senate and Congress. Now, we're really in for some hard times. But
John, have you noticed that Lautenberg has not even campaigned? I don't even know if he's dead or alive.
He doesn't have to. New Jersey, your state, Cheryl, is a lost. It's a lost.
Lost cause.
You talk about. Remember that movie, The Lost World?
Oh, you go wow.
That's New Jersey.
I gotta run away.
You don't hear it. No politician who's a Democrat has to even campaign in New Jersey. But it's not only your state. Look at Massachusetts. Vermont is the same way. Connecticut's becoming just as bad, and New York and California. So.
You know, John,
you're not alone.
You had mentioned about Andrew Cuomo as head of the HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Before him, it was Cisneros, and Cisneros went to Countrywide Mortgage, and it was Countrywide Mortgage that gave them all of these mortgages, all these fancy schmancy mortgages. Cisneros was on the board. And he, whatever he learned at HUD, he practiced it Countrywide with the mortgages. He was just impossible. And he was the one who helped Hillary to get Texas. When it was with all these primaries, she ran to Cisneros in Texas, and nobody makes mention that he was on the board over there at Countrywide Mortgage, and he was the one who preceded Andrew Cuomo. All of the little tricks, all of the little gimmicks, this is what comes to our poor house that they're stealing from our pocketbook, from our checkbook, because of Cisneros, because of Andrew Cuomo, because of the HUD program. They are just impossible. Go all the way up and down the line. Franklin Raines, he was appointed by Clinton. Clinton also appointed to Fannie Mae this Jamie Gorelick, the one who was on the 9/11 commission with Governor Kaine. And Jamie Gorelick has absolutely no financial background whatsoever. She is a real nobody when it comes to finance. Where they ever came up with the idea to put her in with Fannie Mae is beyond any reasonable line of thinking. But you leave it to Bill Clinton, that despicable despot. He is the one who is capable of doing all of these despicable things. And talking about Bill Clinton, he's the one, John, who was, he pardoned this Bernadine Dorn. Yeah. And she had been instrumental in the killing of two police officers and a security guard. And to hear Abominable say, oh, he was 8 years old. Well, he wasn't 8 years old when he was in Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn's living room launching his political career. And he was not 8 years old at that point of time. And if you're launching your political career, that means you had a little political discussion. And for Barry Abominable to say, oh, well, he thought that Ayers is a reformed former terrorist. He said this to that guy in Philadelphia. He's losing his audience, Smirkonish. He said that he can't keep up with the emails that are flooding in. There's so many of them that are so against him. That radio station happens to have a good group of conservative talk show people. They have Glenn Beck, they have Rush Limbaugh, and they have syndicated people on besides local people from the Philadelphia area. So he had come out, Smirkonish, and he had said he's in favor of Abominable. His emails were flooded with people condemning him, saying negative things about him. And they can't believe, because he is a supposed conservative talk show host. And he has gone all the way over. He is in the tank for Obama. Starting back in March, he said, oh, he went in Philadelphia to hear him give that speech on race when he said he cannot renounce his spiritual leader, Reverend Wrong, nor could he renounce his white grandmother, the one who has just broken her hip. He went out to Hawaii, but the wife didn't fly out to Hawaii. The great-grandchildren didn't fly out to Hawaii. The poor woman lost her daughter to cancer, and all she has is her grandson and the daughter that was born when Stanley Ann, the daughter, lived in Indonesia and was married for the second time. All she has is Barry. And the great-grandchildren don't go out to say goodbye to their great-grandmother? Are they going to fly out when there's a funeral? They don't expect her to live. What is going on here? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Smokonish in March was saying, oh, what a great speech he gave. Yeah, and then he said his grandmother is a typical white person, and then he threw Reverend Wrong under the bus.
Yeah, suddenly he's concerned about that typical white person running off to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Missed the sympathy vote. We've got the news guy who's logged in with us, and he'll be participating.
Guy. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. I didn't get to hear everything that was being said, but it was very good to see what's going on with Obama already. You know, I guess, are we going to the break now?
We'll be going to the break in about 2 seconds.
Okay.
That's not the one.
Okay. wrong break.
How do you like that? Okay, we're going right now, and then we'll get to Paul in Florida, our good friend Paul, and then Rod Nonmore, and our good friend the news guy will be hooked in with us, and we'll have a little montage here.
When we come back from the break, I'll let you know everything that's going on with the lawsuit. There's some really heavy stuff that's going on, breaking news kind of stuff.
Terrific.
So definitely worth to sit around and listen to it.
Yeah. All right. We're looking forward to that. That story is getting hotter by the day. All right, folks, if you want to join us, we got all the lines lit right now. But as soon as somebody hangs up, you can dial 1-718-761-9996. That's 1-718-761-9996. And we're coming back.
From Chappaqua.
I still think we got a good feel.
The Chappaquiddick.
Hello?
It's just one disaster after another. We'll be back in a moment.
And now I'd like to entertain everybody with some fancy pageant walking. What? The real one? Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I'm not going to take any of your questions, but I do want to take this opportunity to say live from New York, it's
Donovan Frank.
Where do you go, my lovely?
They go to the right perspective. And that sound bite was put together by the news guy there. That great sound bite from Saturday Night Live with Sarah Palin.
Oh, thank you.
Live from New York. It's John and Frank, right? Every Friday night.
Yep. Hey, you know, it's always so good to see what's going on with the live on the radio and just to see everything that's going on. Especially now we got this lawsuit. Now, as remember from last week where Phil was on and he was giving us the update, he's suing to get the birth certificate to make sure that this guy is actually a natural born citizen. Now, it came over this week and he was on a couple of other radio shows where he was talking about he now has a recording from Barack Obama's paternal grandmother, that is the grandmother who's in Kenya, telling somebody in America that Obama was born in Kenya.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Yes, yes.
This invalidates this whole election, not to mention with the fraud going on with the voting. This whole election should be voided.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, he went on a very... let's just put it this way. I won't name the name, but he was on a very large talk radio guy.
Yeah, he's really making the rounds. He's getting around now.
Yeah, so he wasn't on Malzberg. He's been on Malzberg a couple of times, but I don't think he was on Malzberg this week with this story, but he was on another radio show with this. And it's apparently a really big deal, and of course it's going to be coming out in the next couple of days where he's going to release this audio tape. So
yeah. Well, you know what? The guy who's carrying that audio tape around with him better watch his back.
He better have bodyguards.
And now there is also another audio tape that is reportedly floating around, and I don't have any solid proof on this one. This guy who is a Nigerian living in Norway, he says that he spoke to Barack Obama's wife, Michelle Obama, and he started asking her about the lawsuit. And she went off on a tirade about how dare you help these white racists with their plans.
Oh, boy.
You're all black brother and all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, she reverted to type.
Yeah, exactly. She reverted to type. Exactly.
Michelle, the militant mama Obama.
But there is no absolute proof about that because the guy, this Norwegian, he is a Nigerian living in Norway, let's just put it that way. He has been saying for about 2 weeks now that he's got the tape and he's going to release it. Then he says he's not going to release it. Then he says he's talking with lawyers about what he's going to release. So this might just be kind of like another Nigerian scam. Anybody who's gotten an email from somebody in Norway, say Nigeria, saying, if you send me your bank information, I'll be able to put money into your account, and then they wind up stealing all your money. This might be some sort of a scam like that from this Nigerian guy. But I have, so we have to be careful about that guy.
Well, news guy, what might very well be the odds in his favor. If she was very far advanced and so close to the time of giving birth, it would not be practical. It would not be the proper thing to do to go flying back to America, such a long distance, if she was already in Kenya, ready to give birth. It might have been a very damaging thing for her. It could be their practices that she gave birth in Kenya.
Right.
It could be a religious idea. And keep in mind, in 1960, you did not have airplanes that flew as fast as they do now. So it would have been a much longer ride, and it would not have been with all the technology back then that you have now. And very possibly because the father was from Kenya, and she, being a foreigner to the Kenyans, they might have a certain belief, a certain practice, that she gave birth in Kenya. It makes a great deal of sense when you stop to think about it.
Yeah,
right. And when Berg was on this other radio show, he was telling the audience that exactly what you were just talking about the Cheryl. He was saying that she wouldn't be able to travel because she was at the end of her pregnancy, and so he was born in Kenya as a result. Obama was born in Kenya as a result, and then the family traveled to Hawaii after the birth and registered Obama in Hawaii and submitted the newspaper announcements and all of that kind of stuff in Hawaii. And there's also another lawsuit that's going on right now. There are actually a couple of lawsuits, two others that cropped up this week. This one guy out in Washington State, he's some sort of a Christian conservative guy. And then there's another guy in Hawaii. Actually, he's from Chicago, and he's now in Hawaii. His name is Andy Martin. Now, Andy Martin, he's got a really, we got to put a little emphasis on Andy Martin, a little like asterisk or something like this, because he's got a shady past. He's not that very reliable as a person, and a lot of the things that he said in the past are not very trustworthy. Uh-huh. So this guy, we should really just focus in right now until we speak to Phil again. We should just really focus in on Phil's lawsuit. But I just wanted to bring those other lawsuits up just, you know, for the fact that we should discuss them on some level.
Keep plugging away, trying to get a hold of Phil, and we'll get him on, and we can get straight from the horse's mouth. Maybe he knows more about this guy, you know, than you do. Maybe he's heard something, and maybe he can make us feel better about his sources. So, but Phil Berg is really making the rounds, and he's getting more and more credibility. So, and don't forget, the news guy got Phil Berg first on The Right Perspective.
That's right. That's right. With Frank and John.
We're going to go to some of our calls. They've been waiting a little while, so you want to chime in, news guy?
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Let's go to Paul, and our good friend Paul in Florida, and then we're going to get to Ron and Ardmore. Yeah, hi, Paul. Where is he? You. Okay. I'm pushing the wrong button there.
Hi, Cheryl.
Yes. Hey, hello, Paul. How is Florida weather?
Well, we're getting some much-needed rain here today. It's warm and wonderful. And, you know, it's wonderful to look at these interesting spirochetes, liver flukes, and termites who cause this, and not to mention the whipworm there, who talk like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Cause this mess.
It sounds like he has something in his mouth.
Yes. Someone said he's trying to pass something through the wrong end, if you get You know, Brown University, that thugocracy masquerading as an educational institution for rich, spoiled brats, they're very good at looting money. They recently gave him a big bash a couple of weeks ago, proclaiming him the hero of the financial crisis and the only one who can solve it. And,
I'd like to give him a different type of bash.
Yeah.
When you look at these crooks, they're all about the wrong answers. They're so simple to figure out. Now, you mentioned Michelle Obama. You see, a straight guy who's been falsely accused, if someone were to say to Michelle Obama, you know, what about this birth certificate, she'd say, oh, this is great. We've been waiting for them to bring this suit. Here's the certified copy of the birth certificate. Yeah. With the notary seal embossed into it, this is just what you need to get a passport. We're going to present it to the judge, case closed. But instead, she throws a tantrum. She starts threatening. She makes the noise about you oppressing me and all that. Wrong answers. When cops, you know, these people remind me of the guy. 2 a.m, the cop pulls a guy over and he says, sir, before he can get a word in, the guy says, you cops are always picking on me. I didn't have nothing to do with that gas station thing. I never stole nothing. I'm not a crook. And the cops said, well, I was just going to tell you that you had a taillight out, but I see something sticking. You see what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Hanging. This is such a simple thing. Produce.
Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
it's so simple. Just produce the. And here's a Harvard lawyer. There's another place, another school for rich dumbbells that masquerades as a money laundry. How come this very brilliant and widely published Harvard lawyer doesn't know that when you suit, you're supposed to answer the suit unless you want to lose it?
Yeah.
Not only that, Paul, it's not just this one item that they're looking into. They should also be looking into what was his major when he went to Columbia University. What did he study at Columbia?
What a racist question.
Columbia University. What did he study at Columbia?
What a racist question, Cheryl. I am shocked at your intolerance.
I'm not finished. I'm not finished. What field of law did he major in at Harvard Law? What was it, slip and fall type of law? What type of law did he study that he got such a terrific education in?
Law. It was the law of, well, if I can't win it on votes, I'll just incite people to riot, kill, and then see, that's my law. And that's the way this guy really talks. What he's really saying is, I'm a tyrant. I'll do anything. Once I can slick myself in, I'm going to uncork and have a great old time.
News guy, let you say what you want to say in a second. But you know, let me just get this in here. You know, Michelle Obama reminds me of the type of black woman who gets caught shoplifting at the mall, and you catch her, and then she starts to scream and holler and carry on, hoping that, we don't want to put up with it. We don't want to cause a commotion. Let her go.
Yeah, it's what Tom Wolfe calls use the mouth in one of his books. That's what they start doing. When you got them dead to rights, they start it.
Start screaming,
create
a scene like you're the one, like she's the one who's being, oppressed and accused unfairly.
Never did a rotten thing in her life. Yeah. And look at how she's been singled out. And publicly humiliated.
And notice how she is no longer around in the media after all of that type of stuff.
Got her locked in an attic somewhere with a lifetime supply of, what is it, Iranian caviar that she was sucking down for $400 a pop last weekend.
The uncle who was from World War II, you know?
Yeah.
She's a younger version of Maxine Waters.
There's a picture of them. I don't know if it's a wedding picture or not. I saw a picture of Michelle Obama, and I said, oh, my goodness, there's Angela Davis. I had a triple take.
Yeah.
And she, why can't she keep that weight down?
Barack Obama is the male version of Angela Davis.
and if there's other people, of course, this was out in the UK about a month ago. You look at some of the photos, if you can find them, of Frank Marshall Davis's communist pedophile mentor, and you say, there but for the chin implant is the spitting image of Barack Obama and Frank Marshall Davis. The apples didn't fall far from that tree either.
Yeah, well, I've got one word to say to Barack Obama.
It's my money and I need it now!
All right, Paul, we're going to move on because we want to get to Ron from Ardmore.
Thanks for calling in, Paul.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. It was good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger and tell your friends there in Florida to do the right thing next November 4th.
Yes.
And I'm going to put together a nice birth certificate for the guy who doesn't have one. I think that'll
Get a hold of one of those people that make up the phony green cards. They'll do a good. Maybe they'll do something good for the country.
Don't mess with any hanging chads.
All right. Paul, thanks again for calling and spread the word about the show as well.
You bet. Great.
All right. All right, let's go to Ron, our good friend Ron in Ardmore.
Hello,
hi, Ron.
Ron in Ardmore.
Always spreading the word about the right perspective.
And the news guy is on the line with us.
There you go.
The news guy is a long-time listener back to the right perspective, back from the Omega Radio Network.
There you go.
7415 and 5070. I used to listen down, right where I'm at today.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a long time listener, and I got and I try to contribute when I can.
Yeah.
Want to take you to the woodshed, though.
What are you going to take me in the woodshed for?
I told you about that Schmerconish guy, and I told it on these airwaves, and when you play the Best of Frank and John, volume 1003, Schmerconish had sugar in his pocket about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Once those TV lights hit him, he went soft. Back in the early 90s, and I guess not to bore the audience, but talk radio, when it was at its finest, and Frank and John had the foresight to record their phone calls, I was down here in Philadelphia calling Schmerconish when he was the late night host, fill-in host, and he was good.
He took over Imus's spot in the morning.
Way before Imus.
Okay.
I know him. I know McConish better than John and Frank know Curtis Sliwa.
Oh, my. Okay.
I call them three times a week, and you get in, you get a 10-minute shot. If you were good, you could hold your own, and they would talk, you know, back in the early days of talk radio.
Right.
5 years ago, he started going south, and I saw it.
Okay. Yeah, he did a Jay Diamond.
The scary part of it is how many, George Will, I get people say, oh, look, George Will is turning, all these conservative pundits, you know, the ones with that, they get the powder on their face and the powder on their nose, they're all of a sudden, you know, oh, well, Obama's not that bad, and he's this, he's that. They don't see the big picture.
Yeah, well, it's always our side that seems to turn, and never the other side.
March. We always cave.
Yeah.
Boy, one time, I'd like to see a left cave. When's the last time that there's
well, yeah, you know, you have a couple. You have like...
Zell Miller,
yeah.
Lieberman.
And Joe Lieberman, yeah.
That's about it, but even as a policy-wise.
I'd love to see Joe Lieberman switch parties before the election.
Oh, that would be good. Because that Jewish vote has to go for McCain. I cannot believe how Jewish people could ever vote for Obama. He associates with Louis Farrakhan, who is such an out-and-out anti-Semite calling for the destruction of Israel. The preacher, Reverend Wrong, is also such an out-and-out anti-Semite. Jesse Jackson, just this week, said the Zionists have been controlling that the Middle East policy is going to change with Obama.
Yeah, it's a new day.
Yes. What is wrong with the Jews?
Cheryl.
Yeah.
I study history, and pretty much I get a lot of information from Frank. But the history I've studied, the Jews always have a tendency to cut their own throats.
Unbelievable.
It is. Orthodox
are going to be voting for McCain.
They usually have the liberal tendencies. They'll go with the... we're not talking about liberals. We're talking about communist tendencies and Nazi terms.
It's not a tendency. It's an out-and-out characteristic.
As an Irish Catholic, I sit there and say, what is so hard to understand here?
Yeah. The Bible spells it out. Plain and simple. It says that the homosexuals, that's an abomination. It says with the gay marriage, it says multiply and be fruitful. How are you going to multiply and be fruitful if it's two men?
Yeah, well, it's...
I'm Barry Buffman.
Multiply and be fruitful, well, not multiply and be fruity.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, you're such a brute. Yeah,
but again, but also there's a ray of hope here. Plain and simple, you hear Joe the plumber. I'm Ronnie the mechanic. Okay, and I work in a busy shop, very busy. We'll do probably 100 cars a day.
Okay,
so I'm in an automotive dealership. Right. What happens is I remember Gore, Lieberman. Kerry Edwards, the cars come in and you got bumper stickers, signs all over the place. And both sides, you don't see the bumper sticker action. You don't see the signs on the lawns, like you've seen in previous elections.
Uh-huh.
I run into and I correspond with Frank a lot through the email. And the reason why I haven't called in last month or so is I'm busy. I'm also politically active, where I'm aligning judges up for the election booth and handing out pamphlets and going to debates and stuff like this Friday night. So I'm usually like crashing. Plus, my Phillies are in the World Series.
That's right. I picked the Phillies in 7 games. It's going to take them 7 games, but they're going to make it.
Yeah, it should be a good series. And I like the Rays myself. But
okay, good. All right, good for you, John. All right, Mets fan. But like I said, I think that's going to be a long series. But getting back to what I'm saying.
Well, I'm a Yankee fan.
Is people know me in the neighborhood, and they turn around, and I got
comedy.
You're not a sex offender, are you?
No. I got all those clearances cleared out.
Just a car fender.
I go through the neighborhood, and there's prominent Democrats. And when I say prominent, I know they're in the leadership and they're active. They turn around and say, I got to put a sign in front of my house. I got to do, but that's not where my value's at.
Yeah, well, did you hear about that pizza shop in Michigan that was offering free pizzas for anyone who brought in a McCain sign? So all the McCain signs were being stolen off people's lawns and other places and brought to the pizza shop, and then get a free pizza.
Yeah.
That's what it's come down to, folks. Now, some of them are being prosecuted because it's stealing private property and things like that. So,
The New York
story.
Can you imagine that?
It's TNB. That would be under the TNB section there.
Yeah.
Boy.
The New York City teachers also, they went to court because they, Randy, whatever her name is.
Weingarten.
Oh, the whiner over there. She wanted all of the teachers to wear little buttons that said Obama on it. This is intimidation. This is not teaching children. This is letting the kids know that when you answer questions on the test, you answer the question so that the teacher is happy that you said something favorable about Obama. If you say something unfavorable, the teacher will not give you the A. You'll get an F. And that is what that button is saying. So thank God that the courts stopped that they don't have the teachers wearing those buttons to class anymore.
Sure, but I don't say the kids are that dumb. I think the kids will see around that, and as long as it came to light, but kids are naturally rebellious. And they see that, and they say, okay, I'll answer the way you want to answer. It's just like, a kid says, I want a piece of candy. We need a piece of candy. I say, clean up your room. Clean up your room to get the candy. But they know, it's just a few kids will get brainwashed like that. But I think for the majority of them, that's a turnoff.
Well, I hope you're right.
I do. I deal with a lot of kids and stuff, but I want to get back on this sign issue.
Yeah.
I'm a committee person. I run around the town and throw the signs up, make sure people come out and vote. I don't see the demand for signs on either side.
Oh.
And the signs I put up, they tend to stay there.
Oh, good.
Mine were thrown around, mine were up for about a month, and this morning I went out and they were thrown across the lawn for the first time in a month, and I'm in a very diverse area, shall I say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, a sign is useless anyway, because all you see is a name. Okay, yeah, fine, I see the name, but now what does he stand for?
But it gets that familiarity, because I kind of flip back and forth on this. Is it really worth my time throwing these signs up? But on the other hand, it says they look at my house and they say, "Hey, Ronnie's a good guy. He does his little league. He does this. He's active. It must be a good guy who he's supporting." It's also name recognition. If you have a pair of jeans, Lee jeans and Levi Strauss jeans, versus Ronnie's jeans on the court, you're going to grab that the one you're familiar with.
Yeah, but half the signs don't even tell you if it's a Republican or a Democrat.
That's true. But then again, you're looking at the electorate, your voter. Howard Stern did a thing about a week ago.
All right, hold on, fellas.
Hold on.
We're ending this portion of The Right Perspective.
Yep.
All right, fellas, you can tune into the second portion of The Right Perspective. We'll be on the internet.
Give us the question.
And you can join us. We've got a full board right now at 1-718-761-9996. We're going to end this portion of the show with a quote from the great Douglas MacArthur, who said, "It is fatal to enter any war without the will to win it." Thank you.
Thank you.
another hour of news, opinion, passion.
John and Frank!
The Right Perspective.
Well, it's all.
It's all right if you listen to the right perspective, because no one's going to tell you not to listen. Obama isn't president yet. And that's another thing we're going to have to watch out for. But let them go after those guys on mainstream talk radio. We'll always be here on the internet, unless the liberals try to control that. Don't forget, liberals want to control anything that they don't control. And they don't like the internet because it's a free medium. And liberals always seek to destroy freedom. They think they should have the right to control your life from anything, from what you're wearing now, what you're eating, how much you can eat, what kind of car you can drive,
the temperature,
what kind of
in
speech,
the room.
The temperature in the room. And eventually they'll get around to the internet, folks. So make sure you make the right decision on November 4th.
When everybody on the talk radio is always talking about how Obama might be able to put in some sort of a fairness doctrine that would eliminate Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh from making a living. You know, that's something of a valid concern, I guess, you know, for Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of us would still be able to speak. Now, what is more severe is the idea that Obama, with a liberal majority, with this filibuster-proof liberal supermajority, coming in 2009, they will be able to implement something called hate speech legislation, where they will be able to define what is quote unquote hate speech, and then they'll be able to silence your speech if they define it as such. So, and that will go not just for Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, that'll go for Frank and John and Gerald, Ronnie and Ardmore and News Guy and everybody else.
Sure, it's so arbitrary.
I find that to be much, much more of a severe and dangerous situation, even though I would not, you know, don't misunderstand me. I do not want to see a fairness doctrine implemented either. I do have a greater concern for this hate speech legislation, because that's going to affect every American, and it's also going to circumvent the Constitution of the United States with our First Amendment.
Yeah, yeah. And don't forget, liberals hate the Constitution when it gets in their way.
News Guy, when it was World War II and they had the Radio Free Europe and they had the communication connection, and they just said words that were then translated into what those words meant, that a certain signal was given. You cannot suppress it. Once it's out there, once the technology is out there, you cannot suppress it. With the internet, what it will become, if God forbid Obama gets into the White House, what the internet would become: private clubs, private membership, that only the membership had the exclusive on that connection. And it's not for public broadcast. It's for members only. And the new technology, they cannot overtake. They cannot suppress the free speech. Just as in World War II, the message got across. It was communicated in one form or another. And that's what it will be. The message will get across. I was reading about the fall of the Roman Empire. You had the legions, the great soldiers from Rome. They were wonderful soldiers. Why should they die to conquer these new lands, and citizenship should be granted to the conquered people? The new conquered people, they don't want to be great soldiers. They don't want to go out and fight. This is why Rome fell. They conquered everything. But in doing so, they lost their leadership. They lost their powerful forces of Rome.
Sure, they were no longer nationalistic.
That was it. It was gone.
Yep.
It was gone. The battle was lost. They might have won over the conquered lands, but the battle was lost.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with nationalism. It's what keeps a country together. And
you
Ron, did you
bet.
Want to have your last? We'll let you close it out, and then we're going to get to Bob in St. Louis.
Right on, we'll close it out. On that point, you know, it's kind of like the major battle I fight when you argue with people is an anti-Bush battle. And I wasn't a George Bush fan in 2000. Wasn't a Bush fan in 2000. I voted for because I had the alternative. In the primaries, I voted for Alan Keyes, to be exact, the real black president. Okay, that's who I did back in 2000.
Yeah, he's a Tom.
Yeah, oh, he's great, but
he's an Oreo.
I wish he beat Obama back in the senatorial race, and we wouldn't have this problem we have today.
How did Fitzgerald's papers get opened up? His
divorce. That's Chicago politics.
But the other papers from Obama, they're all locked up.
His open up your birth certificate, Obama. Okay, Ron, we're going to move on.
Okay, yes.
The Phillies in seven.
Okay. Well, let me leave you with this.
Look, ML swinging. Yankees win. Yankees win. The New York Yankees have climbed off the deck in the ninth inning.
Girl,
yes, Ron.
I warned you about Smirconish about 4 years ago. I said he got he got whales on his pants. As soon as those TV lights hit his bald head, you know, he had that deer in the headlights look. And
yes.
He fell in love with those TV lights.
Fell in love with it.
And I think he's also playing that field in case Obama gets in where he can play that, you know, side on the fence where I'm not, you know.
No, he would want to be the press secretary, just like Step on Top of Us became the press secretary.
Fairness doctrine. He, you know, he's playing that fence because that's his career now, and he wants to make sure. I'm not really that conservative, and I'm not really that liberal. You know, he's playing the fence, and
he'll wind up with Gunnish.
His listenership has dropped, and I hope
it
he's
sure
listening
has.
Good night, Michael.
That's
Ronnie
it.
From Ardmore is telling you, you lost it. Good night, battle on, Patriots.
All right,
battle on.
Oi, vey.
Yeah, all right. Let's. We're gonna.
Before we go to the other, we go to the other guy, I was wondering, Cheryl.
Yes.
If you are able to listen to AM 970 on the on your radio.
A 970 AM. I think I tried it, and I think it came up with static. But I'll try it again. 970. I marked it down.
In 970, and it's a new radio station. It's been on for a couple of months now in New York, called The Apple.
The Apple, okay.
They have like a lot of the, they call them town hall radio guys, and it's they got like Bill Bennett, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager.
Oh, okay, Dennis Prager, okay, Landslide.
Yes. So,
a mensch. You know.
Yeah, Mike Gallagher, I think he lost his wife recently, Mike Gallagher. She died.
Yeah.
Yes, she wasn't that old either. I don't know what happened there, but poor guy lost his wife.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, okay, let's go to Bob in St. Louis.
Yes.
Bob, thanks for waiting. You're on with Cheryl and John of Staten Island and the news guy.
Yes, there Cheryl, you go. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, this is Cheryl and what'd you say? Say John?
John of Staten Island, Cheryl
John,
from
okay.
New Jersey, and
okay.
news guy.
Tell
producer
me you,
extraordinaire.
Okay, now let me ask you, if I'm not an Obama fan at all, but I know some people are, and where would you go to show them who really Obama is? Any good websites or anything like that, or that shows his past history or anything like that that I could show them as to who he is, besides what you see on TV, which is nothing?
You got to put your microphone higher.
There's got to be some conservative news sites out there about Obama. There's got to be.
I would start off. You want to start off if you want to go with all of the hard facts about this lawsuit about Obama's law about Obama's birth certificate. You want to go to obamacrimes.org.
Obamacrimes, C-R-I-M-E-S?
Right. Obamacrimes.org. And that has all of the facts, and it's all the legal documents up there on the website concerning the lawsuit. So it's no spin. It's the direct facts about this case. You know? So that's a
good okay. That
part.
Sounds good. Now,
there are two good books out, one by Fedorosko, I don't remember the title, and the other one is by Corsi, Jerome Corsi, mm-hmm. Obama Nation.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two books that I'm aware of.
Okay.
The real story about Barack Obama, something like that. Fedorosko. I don't have his last name.
Fedorosko.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this.
By the way, just hold on 1 second, Bob. That station, by the way, where all those hosts are on, it's station 990.
Oh, is it 990?
Yeah, it's 990, not 970.
Okay.
Okay, we got to tune in.
Ron called back and corrected.
Okay.
Because the website I have is am970theapple.townhall.com. So.
Okay, maybe in your location it's 970, but.
Yeah.
Well, you can try both, you know.
Yeah, at 990 a.m. Okay.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, now, McCain. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in him either because, you know, he was a senator in Arizona, and he wants to give all the illegals everything that they want.
Well,
you know?
So does Obama. Pardon
me?
So does Obama.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. Neither one has any valid claim to be a president. I look at them both as very distasteful.
Bob, you have our word for it that Frank and John and Cheryl will be calling in. And we will let President McCain know precisely what the conservative base is looking for. He voted against drilling in Anwar. He voted against what George Bush wanted to do. George Bush wanted to drill in Anwar. By picking Sarah Palin and by saying, drill, baby, drill, he has come around on that issue entirely.
Okay.
So he will certainly be looking to drill, baby, drill.
And, you know, now that OPEC wants to cut production because they don't like the fact that, see, when it goes one way, that's okay. But when the price of oil starts to drop, then they think they can control our lives by cutting back on production. Now, that doesn't tell you that we should be drilling for our own resources off the coast of Florida and California and in the Gulf of Mexico and in Anwar and anywhere else where we can find it so that we couldn't care less whether they want to cut back. Well, this should do it to you, folks. If this isn't a decision breaker that you should vote for the party that wants to drill for our own resources, well, then you deserve what you get next November 4th.
But the point, hey, you guys, I never heard your show. Now, what's the name of your show?
The Right Perspective.
Right Perspective, okay.
With John and Frank and the news guy.
And you're on what? You're just on Friday nights?
Friday night, 10 to whenever. First, we're on 10 o'clock we start. We're on shortwave.
And you go to
WWCR, and we're also on the Internet.
You can go to
our website, therightperspective.com. You can listen live up in the upper right-hand corner.
Okay.
That's all one word, therightperspective.com. And there's
archives there. And News Guy was kind enough to set up a whole little area just for me. Cheryl's cutting comments.
Right. The News Guy maintains the website, and he does a great job, and you'll see.
He does the best job.
There's all sorts of news up there. We have Cheryl's cutting comments. We also have Frankly Speaking, which is Frank's different spins on things, and it's all kinds of good stuff.
The Clinton Watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Clinton Watch. You got liberal scandals and
economics.
Economics.
And all the latest news, and it's all brought to you by the producer extraordinaire, News Guy. So go to therightperspective.com.
Oh, it's therightperspective.
Therightperspective.com. T-H-E starts it off, therightperspective.com.
That's
and
one word.
Tell all your friends and neighbors and your relatives and people you work with and let everybody know, therightperspective.com.
Can't
well,
get
sounds
any clearer.
Really good, and I'm glad to hear you guys on the radio. And I'll be listening in the future for sure.
And
well,
keep
I'll,
calling.
I'll tell people, huh?
And no. keep calling.
Well, don't be a stranger.
I will.
don't
yeah,
be a stranger.
I've been very entertained, and I will definitely, you know, I'll tell people about you and hopefully influence some people in reference to that ObamaCrimes.org.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
well, anyway, I'll be listening. I'm happy to hear you guys.
All right, Bob. We appreciate it. And leave it to the News Guy to know where to go to find all about Obama.
Very good. Well, listen, I'll click you off here, but I'll maybe be listening to you on the radio.
Remember that movie, All About Eve? They should have a movie all about Obama.
That'd be good. Yeah. You know, he's got a lot of different faces. Right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But the movie...
You're talking about the three faces of Eve.
Yeah, well, the different...
That was with Joanne Woodward.
Different faces, same...
Yeah, that's him, all right.
Different faces, same philosophy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, hey, that's good.
Remember
that's
The perfect. Exorcist, when the young priest... priest, the young priest says to Father Merrin, he seems to have a number of personalities, and Father Karras corrects him, there's only one.
Yep. I remember very distinctly that. You know, speaking of which, well, anyway, listen, it's good talking to you guys, and I'll get back with you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And have a good weekend.
Yes, and thank you for calling, Bob.
Oh, don't be a stranger.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
And we've got Bill of Chappaqua on the line.
Despicable despot.
Yeah, he's still around.
He's still around.
Yeah.
There he goes, laughing at me.
Well,
all
he's
the time.
He always laughs when he counts his money.
Yeah. That never ends.
Yeah, I put it over
that
on them
never
again.
Never ends. Yeah.
I've been saving a lot of it since I don't have to chase Hillary all around the country and make speeches and stuff.
Well, I know you make more than $250,000.
She's your little pumpkin. You know what I heard Rush saying with her outfit? He said that the color was pumpkin. And I said, Bill from Chappaqua. He must have been listening to the show. See? There
well,
you go.
I am flat. That Rush is a rascal, I have to say that.
Yes,
he's always trying to get me in hot water. And
way, like you're not.
If you need to get in the hot water, you need to get one of them there tankless water heaters.
Yeah, Renai.
Yeah, that's the one.
We want some residuals now from Renai for mentioning them.
Yeah, there you go.
So what's a...
And hot water is also good for boiling hot dogs. You know who makes the best hot dogs?
It's also good for boiling your political enemies.
If it's kosher, you got to broil it.
I wish you see what happened to that plumber guy there. They went after him. Well, you know, that's kind of like the good old days, like the people shouting at me in Chicago that one time there.
And
just send the IRS over there to have a talk with them.
That's one thing you and Obama have in common.
Yeah, you taught him
that
one.
You know, he's taken everything I've done. He's like multiplied it several times.
And he thinks he's the one who made it original.
Yeah, he's going to take more of your money too.
Yeah, you better watch out.
So, not my money. I'll just since I'm married to a United States senator, and you know how much they pay in taxes.
Well, what is she aiming for
By the time he gets done with you, you're going to have to eat at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And you're not going
to
be able to lie about it either.
I probably have one of them side salads, you know, because of my heart condition.
Yeah.
But,
you mean you have a heart?
Well, there's something pounded in there. I hope they didn't put something in there.
Maybe they just oiled it. That was about it.
Maybe it's like that crocodile in the Peter Pan movie.
That's,
you know,
right.
My heart is well lubricated. All them big things I've been having.
Yeah, well, by the look at your face, it looks like you're always lubricated.
Why?
But especially that nose. But anyway, so Hillary's out there on the political campaign trail. Yeah, I mean, is she for real, or is she? Is she doing the double speak, or is she really trying to sound like she's for Obama?
Well, she's just trying to keep her options open. You never know; she might get one of them nominations to the Supreme Court, or if she can beat out that gal from Michigan there, that blonde chick there, Jennifer. Yeah, that's her name. Yeah, because I also had a girlfriend named Jennifer once, but she spelled her name different. Then she wrote that darn tell-all steamy novel type book about me, and
you wish it was all true.
Well, I wish I'd have gotten a hold of them tapes that she made there, but we couldn't get into the apartment.
Oh.
I mean, them burglars. I mean, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, or have somebody do it for you.
Yeah, why get my hands dirty?
That's
right. It's just all thumbs.
That's
Clinton. Why I became an attorney.
Yeah, that's the Clinton way. But yeah, I know you're gonna keep busy. You're not, even if Obama wins, you and Hillary will be working on the next campaign the day after.
And
what can we do?
Is like a cakewalk compared to this Tony Resco thing. But that's all water under the bridge. You know, Hillary says letting bygones be bygones. And,
yeah, you
puts
never
on her pantsuit one leg at a time, just like all the other Democratic women out there.
Yeah, well, you don't ever let bygones be bygones. Remember, after you won re-election, you said, "I'm going to spend a lot of time going after my political enemies because I consider them a cancer that has to be cut out." So, we're going to have our eye on you.
Hey, Bill, I was wondering.
It's the news guy.
Dry cleaning bill from all of those pantsuits that Hillary wears.
Well, we just donate them. We take a tax deduction and go out and buy another set.
Yeah, why not? You donated your underwear.
Yeah. Well, can't be on that, can we?
Underwear, pantsuits, the whole thing.
Yeah, well, you know.
I totally wish you would have forgotten.
I tell you, the price of polyester has plummeted. Since the oil
how is your investment portfolio?
Well, considering I invest in beef futures there every time I step in McDonald's.
Well, if you lose your money, you'll just set up a fund for to recover the Clinton losses.
Oh, I wish that were so. Them days are gone. Liz Hill can get back in the White House. But, you know, we made a lot of money renting out the Lincoln bedroom to, like, Barbara Streisand and her hubby there, Mr. Roland, and all kinds of friends. I'm just wondering if B.O. gets in there, and that's my pet name for him. It's not Savage's pet name. I came up with that first. I mean, if he gets in there, I wonder who he's going to have sleeping in that Lincoln bedroom.
Yeah.
Wow. Will it be Oprah? Will it be Farrakhan? Will it be Tony Resco? Take your pick.
He'll
be in there.
He'll have only black guys will be allowed to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom.
I'm not going there.
There you go.
Well, Colin Powell there might have a make the list there too.
Yeah, what was your reaction to that one, Mr. Bill?
Well, he worked for me for a time, I think.
Everybody worked for you at one time or another.
I think he was just cheesed off at W there.
Yeah, well, at least he's still alive. He's Colin Powell's one of the few that made it through.
Yeah. Yeah, see.
And are you anyway, are you going to campaign for Obama, or are you going to just lay low?
Well, I've been campaigning pretty hard on the golf courses and on the speech circuit and in the buffet line. I mean, you can't ask for more than that. I mean, how much can you ask the 21st the 20th century building the bridge and doing all that other good stuff while doing the people's business, you know. I mean, there's only so much you can ask one man to do, and I think I've done as much as I dare.
Yeah, well, that's subject to interpretation. I don't know what that meant, but
yeah, because
I don't think I'm going to go near that.
Yeah, you go around giving lectures. You collect big money for that. You go around writing books. I didn't even know you could write.
And it's amazing that after a 900-page book, you're actually coming out with another book about your life.
Yeah, revised edition to correct all the errors from the first 900 pages.
Only a Bill Clinton could write a book of 900 pages about himself.
Yeah, me, my brother Roger, my cousin Jeb, and
Jeb
Blythe Clinton there.
I'm glad to see that you're keeping busy, because the busier you are, the safer America is.
Well, at least the women folk, anyway. Yeah,
that's so true, yep.
Oh, my God.
It was wine, women, and song, and I've had to give up a couple of those, so, I mean, there's not much else.
Well, I'm sure every woman in America feels better for that. All right, Bill, we're going to move on.
Well, it's been fun. Well, I wish I could say it was fun, but we'll talk to you again, hopefully, between now and the election.
Well, thanks for the warning.
Yeah.
We'll see how many towns were set on fire there.
Yeah, like the churches you lied about?
Yeah.
Well, it seemed so real at the time. I could have dreamed it. But
I don't think you know the truth from fantasy.
Yeah.
Well, I could fantasize, I tell you. But that's another show entirely.
That's another show. Okay.
Yeah, you have to wait till Howard Stern interviews you.
That's right. That's right. But you'll always be a despicable despot to me.
Well, I'm glad I'm number one on somebody's list.
There you go.
Yeah, you're number one and number two. All right, Bill.
Okay.
Well, it's the time's up, and I guess we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
That's when we'll talk to you.
All right, and take care of that heart, because we got to have you around for at least some fun for the next few years.
That's right.
We're going to see. I want to see if you have some criticism of the Barack Obama administration if he wins. I want to see, you know, that's going to be fun from day one. You and your wife will be going after him, because I know that you'll be looking toward 2012 on November 5th.
Well, we were kind of hoping that McCain gets in. I think she has a better shot at defeating him after 4 years.
Well, I was thinking that she would so want to have McCain get in, because her feeling would be that if Abominable got into office, that the next time she had an opportunity to run would be 8 years. Whereas if McCain comes into office, her feeling would be in 4 years she would run. You know, her birthday's coming up. It's going to be Halloween pretty soon. And she has her birthday coming up right around Halloween. And she's going to be 61. So, you know, if it's time to run, it's time to run pretty darn soon.
Well, I think it's quite appropriate that Hillary celebrates her birthday around Halloween.
Yeah, there's all those aftermarket masks, the Herb in May, and B.O. and W. And now, they could make one of Michelle there, but I think that's too scary. and as Charles Krauthammer, one of them guys, once said there, that Hillary has some ammunition she hasn't used yet. So.
I'm sure.
Yep.
There could be still another October surprise.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I think this stock market crash, I think this was a terrorist attack, because when they went into the two towers, that was an attack on the structure of capitalism, the financial capital of the world, Wall Street. They looked to have the two towers go down. And when you were the president, Mr. Bill, back in 1993, February of 1993, that was when they drove into the garage and they thought that they could bring down the tower with the explosion from that truck that they had rented. And you did absolutely nothing. They have been after the capitalistic structure. This is a terrorist attack. This is not a normal stock market downturn. This is not a normal thing that happens in the stock market.
Yeah, well,
that's very true.
Abominable has never complained about raising money, fundraising. He has never said, oh, this was a bad month. Every month he has been bringing in money, money, money. Now, the people I know, they worry about their jobs. They worry about their mortgage. They worry about putting food on the table, gasoline into the car. Everybody has been complaining about money. But Obama has raised money every month. He is spending.
Yeah, well, pretty soon he's going to have more money than he ever wants. He's going to have the United States Treasury at
printing away day and night.
And he needs to spread that wealth around because, as you know, Hillary ran up quite a campaign debt.
Why don't you spread some of your wealth around?
Oh, you hush up there. I'm not the one that brought up the spreading the wealth around.
Yeah. All right, Bill.
That's Bill the plumber guy.
I like Bill the plumber.
Well, at least he wasn't that ponytail guy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, right. Remember that?
Okay.
This guy's actually doing stuff. So wow. And it's not stuff I want to get my hands dirty with.
I was
okay, we'll talk to you again.
One.
Okay. Good night, Bill.
Good night.
All right.
And good night.
Thanks for checking in.
Guard line.
There he goes. Now, all right. We got. We're gonna be going to a break in a couple of minutes. So. News guy, are you going to hang in there with us, or are you going to?
Sure.
All right. So yeah.
When he was talking about the scandals, maybe when we come back from the break, you can play that clip about John McCain where he was talking this week on Sunday about the scandal.
Yeah.
With the finance.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it was pretty prescient. I think that he was onto something there. You know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think we'll do that when we get back, and we can also play that that clip of the FBI agent who said that Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground had plans to actually eliminate 25 million Americans if they couldn't be reeducated.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, folks. If you want to join us, we have a couple of open lines at 1-718-761-9996 as we go out with the Bangles, If She Knew What She Wants. Great song.
If she knew what she needs, if she knew what she wants, if she knew what she wants,
every talk show host who is honest will admit that John and Frank are great brass sections.
Yep, there's no doubt about it.
This is The Right Perspective with John and Frank.
To reach
John of Staten Island and Frank of Queens.
From west of the Rockies, dial
1-718-761-9996.
East of the Rockies,
1-718-761-9996.
First-time callers may reach
The Right Perspective.
Get area code
1-718-761-9996.
And the wild card line is open at area code
1-718-761-9996.
International callers may reach
Frank and John
by dialing
718-761-9996.
This is
The Right Perspective with
John and Frank.
There's something you should know about me. I'm cold. I'm calculating. I get what I want. If you get in my way, I'll wreak havoc upon you. I can leave you weak, limp, twisted, confused. If you want to live to see tomorrow, you answer to me, and you answer quickly.
I am a stroke.
Learn to recognize a stroke and act quickly. Time lost is brain lost.
The mountain rumbles when God is there.
The earth trembles. The cloud is red with fire.
At such a time, has any man ever gone to see him face to face?
We are back. That's the lead singer of the Go-Go's. You went out on her own. I forget what her name was.
Linda Carlisle.
Linda Carlisle, yeah. She made she made three or four really, really big songs. Circle in the Sand and a couple other big hits. Excellent.
And she made something of a comeback earlier this decade doing some tours with some other 80s bands. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
The Go-Go's
she
were...
She got the chops there.
Yeah, she was Go-Go's were vilified a lot, but they were a pretty damn good band. Them and then the Bangles were great. I love the Bangles. Everything they did was terrific. And the lead singer, the lead Bangles are a knockout group. Very nice looking gals. And the lead singer, I think Prince tried to put the move on her one time, and she told him to take a flying leap. So,
They did like very good, solid pop punk, as they call it.
Yeah, good, clear-cut tunes that you could sing to. You know, it had a good melody. You could sing along with it. Not like this rap nonsense. This insane. Anybody know a rap song out there? The only one I know is by a white guy, Vanilla Ice.
The only ones I remember are the ones that sample songs from that actually sample 80s songs. You know?
Yeah. And from the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah. And they sampled like that disco song.
Yeah, and from Blondie. She made the first rap song.
I heard you say that before.
Yeah. And of course they don't like that. So, but it's too damn bad, so. All right.
Hey, you know, getting back to what Bill from Chappaqua was talking about. If it would be possible, if you could play that tape, because on this week, it was on the Fox News Sunday, I'm sorry, John McCain was on, and he was on there for like 20 minutes, and they were talking about all the different things that are going on with the campaign, and they talked about this campaign financing, because Obama, he opted out of the campaign financing from the government, and that's why he's getting all of this tremendous amount of money in terms of donations. And now there are all these questions popping up about where is this money coming from. And McCain brought it up in the interview. He said that even before, I mean months before, during the primaries, before it was settled that Obama was going to be the nominee and that McCain was going to be the nominee, McCain signed a paper with Obama, and the both of them agreed that they would accept campaign financing. And Obama has broken that contract with McCain.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's
and,
something.
And
you know,
imagine, imagine all the contracts he's going to break with we the people.
Exactly. If he's going to break a contract like as simple as I will accept campaign financing with John McCain, then who's he to say, like, what is he going to actually make good on any promises that he makes with anybody? So, and in the clip, McCain also talks about the possibilities of future scandals coming from this precedent that Obama has set by not accepting the campaign financing. And I was kind of hoping you could play that, John.
Yeah, here we go. And this is what McCain was talking about, and he brings that very subject up.
But what I worry about is future elections, too. But what's going to happen the next time around, 4 years from now? What's going to happen, particularly if you've got an incumbent president and we no longer stick to the finance and the public financing, which was a result of the Watergate scandal? So what's going to happen? The dam is broken. We're now going to see huge amounts of money coming into political campaigns, and we know history tells us that always leads to scandal. I'm saying this is the first since the Watergate scandal that any candidate for president of the United States, a major party candidate, has broken the pledge to take public financing. We enacted those reforms because of that scandal. We know that when you have unlimited amounts of money, in this case $200 million unreported, and there's already been stories of people who have made small contributions multiple times and all that, I'm saying it's laying a predicate for the future that can be very dangerous. History has shown that.
Yeah, well, he's yeah, right on the money there, no pun intended. But it's true, yeah. And this is another reason why this whole campaign, as far as I'm concerned, is null and void. We're going to find out if he's elected. I wonder how much money is coming from the Middle East, from all our enemies, to get our a fellow native-born American enemy. This guy is a jihadist, as far as I'm concerned. He may not throw bombs, but he's going to throw economic bombs. Talk about breaking contracts. This guy's going to he's already broken a contract with the United States Constitution when he wants to provide for the welfare of Americans instead of provide for the defense. He wants to provide cash. He wants to throw the United States Treasury around to his buddies in a form of reparations.
That's right. That's what the subprime mortgage is.
It doesn't say provide for the general welfare. It says promote the general welfare. And you do that by the opposite of what he believes in. Get the government out of your lives. Get out of the way.
They want to cut the military budget.
Yeah, and then if a Republican is elected again, Cheryl, you know what's going to happen? Just like Ronald Reagan had to do and George Bush after Bill Clinton, they'll get sacked with having to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to rebuild the military, and then the Democrats will start complaining about deficits again.
Well, I am hoping that the Democrats lose in this particular election. I hope the Republicans get in and into the Senate and into the House of Representatives. And what I would like to see is that the Republican Party rebuild itself in the image that Ronald Reagan had established for the Republicans. And if the Republicans do not do that, there's going to be a third party emerging, because there is a huge cry out there for that Ronald Reagan Republicanism, and the people will respond positively to a party that does represent those principles, those conservative principles. And that is what is missing in today's political scene. The Republican Party has gone so far away from the principles of Ronald Reagan that they are not the Republican Party that was there in the 1980s, which was not that long ago.
Yeah, well, that's why I call myself a conservative and not a Republican anymore. But anyway, news guy, how about you want to play that FBI agent? This is what you're in for, folks. This is an FBI agent, Larry Grathwall. He was an undercover FBI agent, and he infiltrated the Weather Underground. And this is what he said, the Weather Underground. And don't forget, Bill Ayers was one of the founders of the Weather Underground. This is what he said they spoke about, and they were serious.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. We become responsible then for administrating, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill. 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
Wow.
Yeah, the final solution.
That's yes. Right. That's right.
Yeah, that's us. And re-education camps, what they mean is concentration camp, folks.
That's right.
And that's what the left has always been about. Stalin said, no man, no problem. And that's what that's how vicious and insane these people are. And that's why you see them now trying to dispense with any kind of opposition. That's why conservatives can't speak on our college campuses. They're either they have missiles thrown at them, or they're attacked physically in other ways. They don't just throw pies. I mean, they throw dangerous things. Or they try and silence opposition. They get their placards. They're out in the streets demonstrating. And the so-called higher institution of learning inevitably backs down. That's why they're going to try and shut down the internet, or, as the news guy mentioned before, they'll arbitrarily label something as hate speech, and the internet will be shut down, or any website or any blog will be shut down that doesn't reflect their point of view. And that's why they'll also try to reinstate the fairness, and that's in quotes, the fairness doctrine. And don't forget, the left always tries to put nice-sounding names on their agenda, and it's anything but a fairness doctrine. Why don't they demand that the New York Times, for every column that they have written, a liberal columnist, that they employ a conservative columnist? No, it's always one way. So
that's good, yeah. John. I like that. We gotta remember that one, because if they're going to apply the fairness doctrine on media and the radio and television, they should apply it to print media as well.
That's right. That's right. And when they say fair, it's their opinion of what's fair. And the fairness is by their determination, which makes it totally unfair. So just by using a certain word, they're giving it its own connotation, but they are the ones sitting in judgment of what is fair, what is correct. And it is just unbelievable that they could do this. I was reading a little bit about Benjamin Franklin, and he seemed to love being a publisher. He was to be known as a publisher. That this was one of his hallmarks. This was one of his great. Because as a scientist, as a with electricity,
man of many talents,
but he enjoyed publishing his little newspaper, and to liven it up, he would write his own letters to the editor and publish those. And he just loved Philadelphia and wanted to have the news in the newspaper and spread the word. And the newspapers of today.
He was the news guy.
That's what he was. The news the news guy of Philadippity Doodah. And the newspapers of today are so biased They are so filled with lies, so slanted, you do not get the news. And they give you some headlines, some stories that are absolutely phenomenal, and then there's no follow-up. The journalists of today have not studied their craft. They don't ask the right questions. They don't go into the proper study of the material. They don't even know how to interview the parties.
And I'll tell you
involved. Something
else, Cheryl. They don't proofread what they write either.
Not at all.
Every time I read a column now in the paper, they use a word twice. They'll write the.
Yeah.
Or they'll leave out, they'll make something singular when it should be plural and vice versa. And they don't go back and read their column. And I've seen it's getting worse and worse. You know, they used to tell us in school, when you write something, when you write a thesis or whatever, you make sure you go back and read it word for word to make sure you've got it right and that
right.
You're not using incorrect language or a gender or singular when you should be using plural and vice versa, or right tense. And this no longer exists in journalism today. Even in these, where are the editors of these papers? Don't they read these columns before they're released?
They must have gone to the same school that the journalist went to. Moron school.
Yeah. And you know, it's so weird because usually, from what I've understood, that at least like with magazines, they go through several proofreading processes. So, you know, they have more than one proofreader going through an article to make sure, like, if one level doesn't catch it, that the second level will. Maybe just because everything is so fast with the turnaround these days, you know, everything is like this 24/7 news cycle and everything has to be done, published.
Yeah, and they've got their deadlines.
Yeah, and they've got the deadlines that are like seconds now.
But now you have technology that works so fast.
Well, they're not using it.
They're not using it. And the, you know, the thing is that they do have things like spell check in that's built into your browser and things like this. Maybe they're not using that, but I think maybe they're not going through that same level of proofreading process that they usually are normally accustomed to.
Well, you got to watch spell check because sometimes
they'll
say that something is correct, and it may be. You know, for instance, if you use the word there's two different ones, T-H-E-R-E and T-H-E-I-R. If you use the word T-H-E-R-E when you should be using T-H-E-I-R, it'll still pass because they're both words. You know what I mean? By the way, you know the meaning of the word menu.
What's the meaning of the word
that's
menu?
That's a college where only guys go. Menu. George, it was a George the Atheist that was asking, what do we think about the lead singer of the Four Tops, of Levi Stubbs? Yeah, that's a shame. He died this week, and he was a great talent. Great. I like the Four Tops much better than the Temptations. The Temptations. They used to do tours together.
Yes.
And that was great, but Levi Stubbs and the Four Tops were better than the Temptations, and he was a great talent. That's too bad. All these singers, so many of them, they die early for some reason. I think George was also asking what I thought of Motown. In general. It was a great institution. That was a great operation there because, you know, back then you had black people who were much more civilized than they are today. They didn't have this chip on their shoulder. They weren't radicals. They didn't hate the country. And they made good music. Today, all the music that comes out of wherever it's coming out of, a lot of it's not coming out of Motown, otherwise it might be good. But you don't have the same talent. All you have is a bunch of thugs making movies and music. And it's all hate America. America's bad. Hate the police. You know, hate whatever politician that doesn't reflect your views. Kill them even. And it's really music has really, really gone downhill. I don't know one song that's out there today.
I used to know all the singers.
You hear these like weird noises in the background as some
it's
guys
not
just
music.
And then you hear somebody and then a clap like this in the background, or you'll hear a little There's no instrumentation. It's just awful, awful music. It's not even music. And that's what the kids are growing up with today. They don't know anything of a melody.
Yeah. Just give me a melody and, you know, some nice chord progressions and I'm happy.
Yeah. Give me, even though I'm not even, didn't grow up in that that era. I like music going back to the 30s. If it's good, it's good.
The big bands.
Yeah, I love Glenn Miller and all that stuff.
Benny Goodman, the King of Swing.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we even use some of them in our bumper music here. Like, we use all kinds. It doesn't have to be all the modern stuff. We use stuff from the 50s, the 60s. Here's an example.
Go ahead.
That's Benny Goodman, Perfidia. It's great stuff, you know.
This is the right perspective. With John.
I thought
Perfidia was Artie Shore.
That's Benny Goodman. Hear that? Do you hear that flute? And then, of course,
and
this,
the angels sing. And that's, the angels sing. That one I know.
We meet. The angels sing. The angels sing the sweetest song I ever heard.
Now, this was when America was America.
And the angels sing.
You don't hear singing and instrumentation like that. Whoop.
Harry James.
Yeah,
you had,
great stuff. I never get tired of that.
Tommy Dorsey.
Good music is good music.
Jimmy Dorsey, you had all those great big bands. Terrific stuff.
Yeah, compare that to crap. Crap music. That's what I call it, crap music. It should be outlawed. It's just awful, awful stuff. You know, the Nazis had a rule in Germany that you couldn't play a note above C. Now, that's getting, you know, that's crazy. I mean, Louis Armstrong couldn't play his instrument.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Yeah, to a certain extent, I sympathize with them when I hear rap music, rap noise, because it's just awful stuff, and it's just full of hate. And what gets me is,
John, I'm going to have to make it a mission now to find contemporary music that I think you will like.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a big, long mission.
No problemo.
It'll be like a quest for the Holy Grail, but I am up for the task.
I don't even know who the singers are anymore. I don't know what station you tune into to hear music. And AM, FM, I don't even know where you're going to find it. And what I hear in way of music doesn't even sound to me like music. So it's just one of those difficult situations. I don't even know where you can pick out the music. I don't even know where you can find it.
Yeah. I've run into that problem. I just wind up putting all the songs that I like onto my iPod. I mix that in with the talk radio shows that I download off the iPod, the different websites, and just listen to it all together. And I don't even listen to the radio that much anymore, except for the BBC. So.
Oh, okay. I tune into various stations, keep flipping the dial, go from AM to FM, and to try to find a station. And it's not easy at all. And it's not easy finding a talk radio station. It's not even easy finding weather and traffic.
Yeah,
that also they lie about.
We got a couple of calls. And Cheryl's going to have to leave soon because she wants to get out of here early, and I don't blame her, and we thank her for coming down. Frank will be back next week, by the way. He's away on personal business this week, and he'll be back next week. And we've got a couple of callers on the line from Texas. We've got Paul and from Texas, and he wants to talk about oil prices. And then we've got Brock from the new caller, 17 years old.
Cool.
Wants
to talk about what they try and make him they force him to believe in school, because all the kids are all brainwashed by these lefty teachers. So
that's right.
And that should be interesting. And let's go to Paul now in Texas, who wants to talk about oil prices.
Let's hear about the oil. Okay. Hello, Paul.
Give us an update.
Nice to talk to you again.
Well, thanks for calling.
I would like to say quickly, one of my very favorite, most favorite renditions of the Star Spangled Banner was performed by Marvin Gaye.
Oh.
I believe it was a basketball game.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that should be interesting.
Yeah, you can get it on trusty YouTube. But it's, the Star Spangled Banner is a rather awkward song to sing to some people.
Yeah, a lot of people. Roseanne found that out.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, she didn't sing it exactly. She screeched it more than anything. But anyway, my comment briefly on oil prices was, when they were so high, oil prices were going up per barrel. And everybody was saying, well, this is just normal. It's because of the increased demand from India and China and other industrialized companies coming up to speed with America. Well, the price as of about 6 months ago compared to today, it's about half today is what it was. Did they stop buying oil?
Well, about 10 years ago in Forbes, I had sent it to Frank and John about once India and China start to develop their economies, the price of oil would go up. And this was from an oil man. He's in his 90s now. I forget his name, but there was an article in 1998 about the price of oil. And this man who still has the oil company said that when India and China develop their economies, that's going to make the price of oil go sky high because the demand will go up.
Yes, I understand that. Yeah. But the point I'm trying to make is even though the economy in America has been affected, did their demand go down?
Right. Probably not. Now, That's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good point because where I'm at, I'm up here in the now bankrupt country of Iceland, and every time that the market sneezed, the price of oil skyrocketed, and now that the price of oil per barrel is about 70, it's under $70
right.
a barrel, the price has gone down here. But it hasn't gone down to the levels of where it was when oil was $70 a barrel. It's still significantly higher than that. And, it was just so weird that a couple of years ago, it must have been like 2005, 2006, it came out here, a big, big scandal where it was proven that the oil companies conspire to keep prices up. And it was always a weird thing. When one company, gas company, raised the price of oil, the other one the next day or maybe like hours later raised the price. And so it was proven through inter-office emails among these bigwigs at these companies that they were conspiring to keep the prices up. And if it happens in Iceland, the rule is, if you see like the political and the social climate here in Iceland, it pretty much mirrors everything that happens in America great deal of the stuff. So if it's happening here in Iceland, it's happening over there in America.
Yeah. Well, now, has the price of oil been affected that much by just Americans cutting back at their driving or maybe in England? Or because they don't have that much driving in China and India, not half as many people.
They use bicycles.
Yeah, because if we can affect it that much, then we should use that to our advantage whenever oil prices start to go up. Cut back again and keep them low. Or get into the habit of not using your car for everything. and really stick it to OPEC. If we have that much leverage, we should keep this in mind that we have this leverage and cut back whenever we want to bring the prices down again.
Exactly. And I don't think the demand in India and China, which was being used as the basis for why the prices keep going up, I don't think they have cut back that much on their industrial usage of oil. So what is the difference between 6 months ago and today?
Yeah, it could. It does require. It does require an explanation, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm very curious.
That's kind of my point is that during the spring and the summer they were talking about every reason why it was going up. Well, China and India are now they've got their industries expanding and all of this, which are true. I mean, those are true things. But it was just proven here, and it was proven here years ago that these guys conspire to keep the prices up and to keep the prices at certain levels, regardless of whatever the market is requiring for a barrel of oil.
It gives credence to that, doesn't it, the news guy?
Yeah.
And by the way, where are all the people who were when the prices were high and everybody was saying, well, George Bush is an oil man, Bush and Cheney are oil guys, they're conspiring, they want to keep it up to let their buddies in the oil business get rich. Well, where are they now? Why isn't there an investigation into why your oil prices have dropped so much? Are they saying, where's the apology to President Bush and Dick Cheney?
Right.
I'm pretty sure, since I'm involved in markets that in the Far East and in industrial markets, I keep track of that on a daily basis. And I don't think they've been cutting back on their transportation costs or the demand for oil. But that was the excuse was given as to why the price kept going up.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the price in America went up and, they're reporting that people cut back on their travel or whatever, that accounts for a 50% swing in the price.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's even with India now sending a rocket to the moon.
they had to put something in the tank.
Yeah. But somebody should look into that. It is something to think about. And how come if they're using that much more, mm-hmm. are you going to say that our cut back in driving and us using less, becoming that much more fuel efficient? And by the way, if we've become that much more fuel efficient, where are the liberals to congratulate America and Americans for cutting back on our oil usage?
We didn't cut back enough.
Yeah, well, it's never going to be enough until we all have to walk again, and we're on bicycles just like the Chinese and not using any automobiles or trucks. So they want to send us back to the 6th century. They want to see horse and buggies on the street so they can, all the horses can crap all over the street and spread disease again.
And then we'll have more global warming because of all the methane fumes from the horses.
Yeah, then they'll blame that on Bush.
That's right. Then we'll have now we have the cow flatulence problem, and then we'll have the horse flatulence problem coming to a city near you. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I can't see a market fluctuation like that because you have two things that are in conflict here. One is the price of oil goes up because of the disproportionate consumption of petroleum-based products from America. On the other hand, you have two very large countries with very large populations who are still on the rising curve of industrial development.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we cut back on our vacations to Yellowstone Park because of the price of a gallon of gasoline, it doesn't affect their continued increase in industrial progression.
Well,
how does the price go down by that much?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. It really, somebody should bring that up and say, where's all this talk about China and India using so much more oil now? And the other thing is that Americans should keep it in mind that if they have this much leverage where they can bring it down, they should be ready to use it at any given time. The politicians should be reminding us to do that because Americans individually have very short memories. Once a problem goes away, even if it's temporary, it's out of sight, out of mind with the American people. So somebody's got to keep this in mind and remind the American people what they were able to accomplish by cutting back. And it's probably not just us. It's probably Europe, too. You know, the price of gasoline is even higher in Europe, so they must have cut back on their driving. But the West has got to unite against a common enemy. Europe's got to stop thinking of themselves as being, you know, separate from the United States and stop this fratricide against the West. We've got to unite and realize the potential, the power that we have over economics as well, because the Middle Easterners who control all the oil, they despise the West. We're their enemy, except when it comes to selling the oil so they can get all that that Western money. But we should keep in mind this leverage that we're now wielding to bring the price of oil down, if this is indeed the cause of the oil prices dropping so much.
It's a philosophical argument because, on one hand, we're developing technology through computers and telecommunications where we can email people and do things from our home that would be impossible to have done 20 years ago.
Well,
we had to actually be physically present.
Well, I predict that we're going to use a lot less oil because if Obama gets in office, we won't have any ships out on the ocean burning fuel oil as well because they'll all be scrapped and mothballed.
He'll allocate, just like food stamps, he'll allocate how much oil you're allowed to use.
And you notice it's always so funny how during the summer, when all the prices were going up, and there were some liberal or left-wing political theorists who were coming up saying that this is actually a good thing, because the higher price means lower gas use, which means a better environment. And Obama was coming out and saying basically the same thing and saying that, yeah, he would like to increase taxes on fuel.
Right.
I have the exact quote, news guy. Obama had said,
Yeah, well, he said that he wanted the price to go up, but it went up too fast. He would rather go up at a slower rate. That's the best he could do.
Right.
Well, I'm looking forward to becoming a bum. and Cheryl and John and news guy, send me contributions.
Well, it's very hard to become a bum these days because the Democrats are always ready to step in there and say, don't worry, we'll take care of you.
You're not our kind of bum.
That's right. You have to do things the way we tell you to do it. So
you've got to be the right kind of bum to qualify.
That's right. Yeah. You're only allowed to do certain things at certain times.
That's a bunch. So let me take these off. So the issue is not a perception that, let me put it this way. We're trying to, we've got a bipartisan group here,
and by the way, none of them are repeated either.
Well,
that was in a half-hour interview.
That's the same. As a friend of mine said, because Austin in Texas has a lot of people that are homeless.
Yeah.
And my comment was, well, I can understand their position. Why would you want to go to work and pay a mortgage on a $100,000 house when you can sleep for free under a $10 million bridge?
Yeah. Yeah. He almost sounded like Ed Koch.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
How am I doing?
Stop it, will you?
How am I doing?
Yeah.
How am I doing?
Obama says, an eagle gets his wings.
Yeah. Well,
this is nuts.
I wish he'd fly away.
Or maybe a devil gets his horn.
Yeah. All right, Paul, we're going to move on and talk to a fellow Texan.
Yes, thanks for calling, Paul. Call again.
You're always welcome, then. I appreciate your taking the time to speak with me, and good luck and good progress on your show.
Well, don't be a stranger. Call again.
All right, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Brock in Texas. Yeah, Brock.
Hello?
Hi, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, thanks for taking a young person's call. Well, I guess what I wanted to get to tonight is just basically how majority of young people don't really know a thing when they think they know everything about politics. And I'm sure you understand what exactly what I'm talking about. Well, surprisingly, I'm actually a university student, and I've attended classes in two different regions of Texas, and so I can speak on more or less a broad range of what young people are more or less thinking. And from what I've noticed, it's the same in just about every place you'll go. Everyone loves Obama. They won't doubt what he says. Some people don't even know he runs on the change slogan, which is really strange. And every time you try to bring up something to counteract him, whether it be something about McCain or Bob Barr or even Chuck Baldwin, they immediately jump at you. They lash out, and they claim that you're just trying to cause trouble or something. And when you point out something like the that stuttering that you guys were playing, where he couldn't even formulate a sentence, they'll say something like, "Well, he was just under pressure. How would you act or something?"
Yeah.
There's
always an excuse, and all they know is what their teachers brainwashed them into knowing. They can't really get into a deep conversation about subjects, and the only thing that liberals like that have is to lash out and try and silence you by intimidation. And I'm surprised that you weren't, or maybe you were, you weren't called a racist. So brace yourself for that. That's coming down the pike.
Yeah, the thing about that is I'm more or less pretty good at voicing my opinion without trying to sound or trying to make myself appear like that. Because, see, people will call you a racist for just about anything. Like, see, you guys are talking about rap music earlier, and I really don't like it either, because most of that stuff just keeps rehashing the negativity about, you know, the black community. And if you keep doing that, you're going to keep yourself in the same position. You're not going to get any further.
Yeah. Well, what the rap music does is actually reinforce what they think is negativity about our society. See, they're being negative, but they're directing it toward America, white people, and anything that isn't black. They have the hatred. And if they ever call you racist, you turn the tables on them and say, no, you're the racist because what you do is you use racism as a last refuge when you have nothing else to say, when you run out of argument. And you use race, you use Barack Obama's race as a wedge to silence people. So it's actually you who are obsessed with race. And then tell them, isn't it racist for 95% of blacks to vote for Obama? 95%. I know a lot more. There's a much higher percentage of white people who are voting for Obama. If 50% of white people are going to vote for Obama, how can white people be the racists?
Yeah.
Why aren't 95% of whites voting for McCain? It's obvious who the racists are.
Yeah, that's really true. And if you notice, a lot of this whole multiculturalist push usually ends up becoming rather oppressive as opposed to spreading freedom, which is what they claim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What
well,
is
that's
it?
Another whole thing. When they tell you we're a multicultural society, you say, no, we're not a multicultural society. We're a united society with many cultures. We're one culture. We're a unique culture with many different ethnic groups. There's a unique American culture, and we happen to have a lot of ethnic groups. We're not a multicultural society. So that's the left's attempt to control the language. So we're a unique culture with many ethnic groups.
And we all put it into one, as they say, the melting pot, you know. But
yeah.
What is it about Obama that they like?
Well, you're going to be surprised at this. From from what most of the young people tell me, they say, oh, well, I think he's just totally cool, so I'm going to vote for him. They don't even know anything about anything, you know,
no,
the issues. Or
that's known as stupidity.
Yeah.
As Frank of Queens would say, stupid.
Stupid. Yeah. Well, tell them when they get out into the real world and have to get a job and work for a living, they're going to find out the mistake that they made when they come home with empty wallets.
What do you like to major in? I don't know if you're old enough to begin a major. Maybe you're just taking the regular courses of that they're trying to indoctrinate you in.
Oh, no, actually, I'm considered a second-year student. I'm in biology.
Oh,
so I'm not taking any of those foo-foo courses, like, those liberal arts things.
Okay, that's the way to do it. Study just the true facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
Yeah, well,
Sergeant Friday used to say that. Just the facts, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't even know who Sergeant Friday is.
That was Dragnet.
I'm 17 years
old.
That
was a special show way back when.
Yeah, I've seen it before on TV Land.
Yes, see? Yeah.
Well, as long as you're studying biology,
you're safe.
Maybe they might be able to get the brain of a liberal and have them study that and find out if they're human.
You got to be careful, because I remember going to college, even in like a scientific course or like an economics course, they would somehow infuse liberal doctrine into it. And it just goes throughout all the the disciplines out there. And one good thing that one technique that you might want to take up is, like, if you're given an assignment of a paper to write, you first write that. Here I am going with the like Obama, but you might want to just start to write an essay that is the way that you see it, and then you write a remix of that essay, so to speak, do a remix of that paper into the vernacular and the context and the perspective that the overseers want you to give. And so that might be a good way to get to college. I mean, it might be a little bit harder because you'd be doing maybe twice the work in some instances, but it'll make your mind a bit sharper too.
Yeah. And the next time they tell you that they think Obama's cool, tell them that the Hitler youth used to think Hitler was cool.
Well, I don't know how they'd react to that.
Brock, is it okay if you reveal what school you go to? George the Atheist is saying, what school does the caller attend? Menu?
Which one was that?
Yeah.
Menu?
No.
If you don't want to reveal it, it's okay also.
I'll give out the school I used to attend.
Okay.
That was University of Texas at Pan American.
Oh, okay. Okay. I had studied economics, and that was a subject that they looked to give you the Keynesian viewpoint, a very liberal viewpoint on the market, and they had tried to instill that indoctrination of Keynesian economics. And after I graduated from college, then I really learned economics. But to get through college, you have to feed back to the professors the doctrinaire that they're trying to give you, and basically learn what you want to learn on your own. Now, I would imagine with the study of biology that every now and then the topic of abortion comes up, and all of these biological studies that they do. What I am so against with these liberals, they are taking this abortion issue and they are looking to expand it. They are looking, they would say years ago, abortions for the first trimester. Now they're expanding the time frame. The next thing they're going to go after are the old people. If they can go after the young who are helpless. They can turn around and go after the old who are also helpless. And under Obama, he is looking to get rid of those who are not contributing to his economic plan. Obama is looking to have just a group that will take his orders and do what he commands. And those are the people that he can tax. The helpless, the weak, the young, the old do not fall into any category that Obama is looking to help that group. When he says that, you know, here we are, we're the government, and we're here to help you, he is excluding certain people. So be very careful with what they are trying to indoctrinate to you in these classes. And look to study things that will help people and try to come up with something that will cure something, get rid of a disease, help strengthen people, and biologically improve us.
Well, Ronald Reagan said that I think the 9 scariest words in the human language was, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yes. You just stick to your guns, Brock, and you remind them who the worst presidents in the 20th century were. Woodrow Wilson, an elitist snob who was a disaster in World War I. Lyndon Johnson, who gave us the Great Society in trying to end poverty, and now we've spent $6 trillion since the 1960s, and all we have is a lost generation depending on the government and demands for more money. Then you had Jimmy Carter, who was a disaster in foreign policy and domestic, who left us with 21% interest rates, 12% inflation, and 9.5% unemployment, and a dilapidated military for which Ronald Reagan had to rebuild. And then you had Bill Clinton, the most corrupt, degenerate president in the history of this country.
You don't have to be so complimentary now, John.
compared to what he did to this country, I am being too kind, I guess.
Exactly.
Who left this country. The damage this guy did to this country is unfathomable. It's still coming out. And not to mention the fact that he left us in recession and actually started the reverse of the great Reagan-Bush recovery, starting with those massive tax increases in 1993 retroactively. And then the suits of Microsoft, the pharmaceutical industry, the logging industry, the tobacco industry. And you're going to sue Microsoft, a company that almost every company in the world depends on. You sue them. That's really smart. And then he put a lot of regulations and taxes on small business all before he left office. And it finally caught up with us in the last 2 years of the Clinton regime, and that's why we were left with the recession that George Bush 43 had to pull us out of by cutting taxes again. And that was even after 9/11 we recovered beautifully. And that was a Republican recovery. And don't forget that the Democrats were against those tax cuts.
That's right.
And they were a savior. They were a savior for this country, especially after 9/11. And we had five and a half to 6 years of an economic boom that everyone has forgotten about. And what ended it was this current financial problem and the housing problem and the high oil prices.
Which Alan Greenspan finally said that.
And that was Democrat-induced.
Oh, you bet.
The Democrats caused this problem.
You bet.
And they also caused the problem with the high fuel prices and gasoline prices, because the Republicans have, how many times now they've asked to drill in Anwar or bring it to the floor for a vote to drill in Anwar, and the Democrats turned it down because they want people to be angry on Election Day about high oil prices and high fuel prices. They'd rather see you suffer for political purposes because they know the media is going to blame it all on George Bush. But the Democrats have caused these high oil prices. We haven't built a refinery in 30 years. The liberals ended the nuclear power program. They won't allow us to drill for any of our resources because they're in the back pocket of the environmentalists and vice versa. Every time the Republicans want to do something about it, the Democrats, being the majority now, turn it down. They won't even bring it to the floor for a vote. So all of this, every problem we have, 99% of the problems anyway, are Democrat-induced. So you're going to have more of that with a communist president in Obama if he wins next Tuesday, or the Tuesday after this coming Tuesday, and a Democrat House controlled by Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and the likes of Charles Rangel. And by the way, you notice how the problem with Charles Rangel is slowly going away, how quiet it is that he didn't pay his taxes.
It disappeared.
Hey, news guy, didn't I tell you that it always disappears? It comes up one or two days, and whenever it's a Democrat, it just slowly, quietly goes away. And what about this? What about this guy who had the affair in Florida? The sexual scandal that's gone away too.
And she filed for divorce papers, and that didn't even make a trickle in the media.
Yeah, because they're all because it's Democrats. But anyway, Brock, you have any closing remarks? Because we're going to close up shop a little early.
I don't know if you guys have ever mentioned this on your show, but the Obama posters, don't they remind you a lot of classic communist dictator poses?
And his posters?
You know, where it has his picture, where it says change. Don't you think it looks a little like those Mao and Che pictures?
Yeah, well, like you see his big head there, you know.
Yeah, and they use the same photographer.
You could see that in Red Square. You see that, you would see that in Red Square with the black, green, and red colors of Africa. Because that's the flag that he really honors. He won't even wear the American flag on his suits. And by the way, it came out today that he has his suits tailor-made for quite a price. And then they were bashing Sarah Palin for the Republican spending money for a new wardrobe for her. But it's
I didn't hear anything about that at all. But I heard everything about Sarah Palin with her wardrobe costing $500,000.
I tell you, everything just seems to be going the other side's way, and it's really depressing. But it would be nice if we could pull out a victory and see the long faces on November 4th. So,
you know, when we're faced with some sort of a liberal supermajority and the prospects of that and what that will bring to this country, governmental gridlock is actually a savior at this point.
Yeah, that's right. As long as they'll, in fact, let them go on a 4-year break.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that at all. And by the way, let's play this. Let's play this for Brock. These are the statements of Andrew Cuomo, who was HUD. He was the head of HUD under Bill Clinton. And this is when it all started with the housing problem, when he threatened a bank in Texas, by the way. This bank was in Texas, and he threatened them if they didn't provide loans for minorities for mortgages. And he says right in these sound bites that he knew that they would default, and yet he demanded that the bank put this money aside for minority loans.
But discrimination isn't always that obvious. It's sometimes more subtle, but in many ways more insidious. An institutionalized discrimination that's hidden behind a smiling face. Housing agents who say, well, there are no vacancies right now. That you just didn't qualify for the mortgage because your financial credit history wasn't good enough.
So, in other words, we're going to finish this off, but I just want to put a couple of compliments. If you discriminate, he calls people not qualifying for loans discrimination. Well, look, I don't think there's anybody who at one time or another hasn't been turned down for a loan because maybe at the time their finances weren't up to snuff. It's not discrimination. That happens to be smart. You should discriminate and decide for your own financial benefit. You know, these companies who loan money, they're not in business just to give money out. They're in business to make money as well, and they have the right. They're the ones who are taking the chance and they have a right to discriminate.
It's the depositor's money.
Yeah.
It's not their money.
I mean,
the bank gets deposits. They have to be responsible to the depositors. And remember banks.
There's a certain level of fiscal responsibility
yes.
involved
exactly.
in all
that's
this.
Right.
Exactly.
And let's continue here.
Last year, the Federal Reserve Board found African Americans are denied credit for homes at twice the rate white Americans are. And it is pervasive, what we found in the banking case in Texas, AccuBank in Texas.
What he leaves out of here is that there's a reason why blacks were denied these loans, because they're the ones that don't pay them back most of the time. That's right, I said it. Too bad if you don't like it.
Discrimination in lending, discrimination in rendering mortgages. The bank has agreed to change its practices, as you heard from the assistant secretary.
No, they didn't agree to it. They were pressured into it. They were forced to do it under threats from the government. They agreed.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
You know what's so annoying about this guy, this Andrew Cuomo?
He sounds just like his father.
I hate it.
Yeah, isn't he obnoxious? His father is even more obnoxious, if that's possible. Yeah, they're like twins.
He's just a junior obnoxious.
And he comes off with this he's standing up for the little guy, and the other guys are the bad guys. And as long as you're standing up for blacks and you're a white guy, you're supposed to come off as the hero. Well, you weren't a hero. You caused a calamity, you Mr. you liberal scum. Let's continue.
The bank has also agreed to a $2.1 billion agreement where they'll make $2.1 billion available to families who are low and moderate income across the country for mortgages. About 15,000 low and moderate income people will now be able to buy their own home because of the settlement we announced today.
Yeah, the settlement. How do you like the settlement? It wasn't a settlement. It was a threat. You talk about the Godfather. He put a gun to his head, said, you'll either sign this or your brains will be on the paper.
But aggressively to take a greater risk on these mortgages, yes. To give families mortgages who they would not have given otherwise, yes.
Get the loans at all. They
would not have qualified but for this affirmative action on the part of the bank, yes.
So he admits it. This is affirmative action loans. They didn't qualify. So, and then he comes out, you hear this, he comes right out and says he knows that they would have defaulted on it.
With the $2.1 billion lending that amount in mortgages, which will be a higher risk, and I'm sure there'll be a higher default rate on those mortgages than on the rest of the portfolio.
This is what started it, folks.
Yeah.
Another liberal disaster. So, Brock, you remember that, and try and keep that name in mind, Andrew Cuomo, who was the head of Housing and Urban Development under Bill Clinton. That's what HUD stands for, Housing and Urban Development. They started this problem. They caused this, and the nerve of him, the arrogance to come right out and admit that he knew the home, the mortgage, they were going to default on the mortgages.
New in advance.
They don't even try and hide it.
But it's an affirmative action program, John. What's with you?
But you see, you're supposed to say it's okay because your heart is in the right place.
You're compassionate.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, compassion doesn't get food on the table, so.
That's right. You let them know. You let them know. Well, you spread the word.
Well, Brock, you're going to have to be a rock.
That's right. That's the way.
And don't let them, you got to gather information and keep it on your computer. Make notes. Make files. Of all these liberal disasters. And that's what I started to do about 10, 15 years ago. I have it all on my computer. And I make note of the sources that I got and everything like that. I have a file on the 1980s about how great the 1980s were under Ronald Reagan. And you know what the first two pages are? The first two pages of my Ronald Reagan file, and I'm bringing it up right here as I'm speaking to you, the 1980s. First two pages, and Cheryl will verify this, says, sources for the following information on the 1980s. and it's got 2 pages of sources, or a page and a half. 43 different sources, liberal and conservative. Because I know the left. Well, where did you get that information? Yeah, why don't you prove that? Where did you get that? And then when I tell them, I got it there from the New York Times. Whoa. Now what are they going to do? The lefty New York Times, when you have your information from a liberal publication from that. And it's and that's what I do. I make note of all the articles and the papers that I got the information from.
That's
and
right.
This
that's
way,
they
can't deny it. You know, when you're in college, when you get to college, if you're on the debating club, the guy who wins the debate is the one who has the most sources that they can point to. And that's why I always make note of my sources.
Verification.
So they can't get away with it because I know the left. Yes. I know like the back of my hand. Now, if you can't prove it, then why should I believe it? Well, here's my sources. Take a look.
There you go.
All right, folks.
Okay, and thank you for calling,
Brock. Thanks for calling, yeah.
We expect big things from you.
Okay.
And if you have any fellow conservatives on campus, tell them about the Right Perspective and tell them to call in.
All right.
And tell them they can get a real education here.
Okay, well, I'll be calling more or less, all right?
You betcha.
No problem.
Lots of good luck to you.
You always get plenty of time to speak your mind on this show because, you know, we don't make you wait for an hour and then you get 10 seconds and then we hang up.
And then
up
we
on
go
you
to a hard break.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
a hard break.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's it. It's, you know, it's... you got 10 seconds.
That's the funniest thing when Hannity was confronting that Malik Shabazz, and it's up on the video there, where and Shabazz brings up Hannity's past friendships, and then Hannity's going, we're on a hard break. We're on a hard break.
Yeah, yeah. Well... Yeah, let me play this for you.
Gotta run.
I'm out of time right now.
All right, you've only got about 40 seconds.
Hey, John, you got about 40 seconds.
Very quickly, a minute.
You've only got about a minute.
Mark in Pennsylvania, less than 30 seconds. Mark, go. Gotta take a quick break.
I'm gonna let you go here, but I gotta let you go because I'm gonna get some other calls.
Thank you, our time's up.
John, 30 seconds, quick.
I just have to tell you, we've only got about a half a minute.
Frank, you don't have all that much time. John, you really don't have nearly as much time as you wish you did.
Let me answer your question, in a short time.
Hurry up.
John, I don't have enough time.
All right, John, we don't have much time. You better hurry up.
Okay, I don't have a lot of time.
You got 5 seconds.
That's what you get on other shows, folks. Yeah.
Well, can I make one more request?
Yeah. Sure, bro.
I noticed a long time ago you guys played a Hal Turner, I guess it was Another One Bites the Dust or something.
Oh.
The Borvok song.
Yeah,
oh, the
that.
Borvok.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you guys play that again?
Let me see if I have it here. See if I can come up with that. Maybe this is it. There's a couple. Is it the rap?
The
Hal Turner rap?
It was from earlier this year, I think, in January.
Yeah, let's see.
I have some great news from South Africa. A coalition of Boers have issued a declaration of independence in Cape Town.
Yes.
And they're demanding official recognition for a Boer government within South Africa. They want to break away and form their own, you know,
white country.
Pot of land.
Borvok. 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 Borvok, white country. Borvok.
The government's going to allow that in 1,000 years.
Well, you know, hey, look, we can
might have a choice one day.
The people trying to carry that out are very well equipped from when they served in the South African military.
Very good military.
Right. I have been in touch with some of those people, and I happen to know that... if they need any help in establishing their country, and if they need specific types of material or certain types of supplies, that right now, as I speak, I and others are opening those avenues to make certain they have what they need. So I arranged for a bunch of guys to take large loads of dynamite and put them underneath a key geological lock on a fault line down in Peru. And within a few minutes, within the last few minutes, those explosives detonated. And it was successful. We have caused an earthquake in Peru.
Borvolt.
Well, I kind of like Charmander. And I like Pikachu. And then there's always Charizard. And you know who's cute? I'll tell you who I really think is cute. Squirtle. Squirtle is cute. But I'm not sure I even know what a Mudkip looks like.
Borvolt.
He's all over the map there.
Oh, man.
Well, I want to ask you one more thing. Was he really part of the right perspective at one time?
When we first started out, and then Hal got a little crazy, and he was not somebody really that we wanted to have anything to do with, because he went off on his own thing. So Frank and I, we don't have anything to do with Hal anymore. We haven't spoken to him in years, and he's not even on the radio anymore. But we split with Hal years ago. So
you know, the thing is that when Frank and John first met up with Hal. Hal was not into this mindset that he developed, and this persona that he was doing that got him all this notoriety. And when he started to get into that, you know, that was like one of the, you know, big signs for Frank and John. They said, "All right, we gotta say goodbye." And Hal even admits, he says, "Listen, they left over what he calls." Artistic differences, you know, and part of that was those artistic differences.
Yeah. Well, Brock, I think it's time to say goodnight, because I'm not sure where you're going with this, and I'm a little suspicious.
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah, we have nothing to do with Hal.
No, we haven't
had anything to do with him for years.
No, I read it on Wikipedia. I was just wondering.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm wondering what you're up to, so. But, I want to see something here.
This is courtesy of the news guy.
I have some great news from South Africa.
Okay, that's another version of it, but this is a...
Borvolk. Borvolk.
No, but, yeah, that was the... That rap, by the way, was put together by the news guy, and that was terrific.
Yeah, I remember it. I saw it on your site a long time ago.
But, I don't even... Hal started to get a little selfish and was out strictly for himself. And then he started to get crazy with these radicals that he was involved in. And Frank and I didn't want any part of that. So we said goodbye a long time ago. We have nothing to do with that.
All right.
All right. All right, Brock. Good night.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
And
good night.
Call
night.
Again.
Yes.
The news guy.
Yes.
If you have any last parting words, we'll...
First of all, I want to thank you, News Guy. You do beautiful postings in Cheryl's cutting comments.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
and thank
I appreciate
you very much,
that.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you very much, Cheryl, for sending in all of those great articles and contributing like that. It really is a boom to the website. And Your articles have gotten linked to some other websites and blogs. They've picked it up and they've linked to your articles over on their site. So
I think that's marvelous. I think that's wonderful, and I appreciate how beautifully you put it all together. And to see what I write so beautifully composed with the Monopoly, go to jail, do not pass go. All of that. I think that's terrific. And I'm so proud of the Joe and Fred article. And I had just asked for one picture, and you gave me three. And I think that is just fabulous. Just fabulous. So I thank you so much. Thank you. All
right. Thank you. And I really appreciate your putting in the articles and taking the time out to write these really great articles and to
to give the insight that you have for this. It really is great. And I have some really, really good news. The website has been averaging out between 2,000 to 3,000 hits a day.
Wow. Wow. John, did you hear that?
Yeah, it's what some improvement, boy.
That's
because of the hard work of the news guy.
That is tremendous. News guy, that's fabulous.
Yep.
And yesterday, Thursday, I'm looking at the stats right now, we had 3,782 hits.
Wow, wow. And do you have a counter? Is there a counter on the news site? Where do you get the figure from?
Yeah, I installed what they call as a stat counter, which mm-hmm. is, you know, it just gives an indication of the number of hits and, you know, the articles that are the most popular and where they came from and this type of thing.
Wow.
And it gives a daily reading, actually, by the minute. It's a very, you know, it's a live, real-time type of statistics.
That's great.
And
inspires me to send you some more material.
Of course, sure.
Please do, because your articles get seen more and more, and they're being picked up, like I said, by other websites, so it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
And today, Friday, drum roll, please.
Drum roll! Bing, 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 bing!
7,280 hits.
7,280 wow. hits! Whoop-dee-doo!
Wow. Wow.
I hope that this is an indication of a new level of exposure for the website, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Well, wow. I said to John, it's the beginning of a new year. It's Rosh Hashanah, Chag Sameach.
Well, they're going to need the right perspective more and more with the next 4 years, I have a feeling, news guy. So we're going to be very busy. Guess who's on the line?
Uh-oh.
Steve.
Right?
No,
Steve from Manhattan.
Steve! Yeah. Yes!
Steve!
Hello, Steve.
All right, and I'm getting the word now that some very large cities in America are now ordering large volumes of marshmallows, folks.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to start toasting marshmallows.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Large volumes of them.
Yeah.
Win or lose.
Well, they'll be ordering fried chicken, too.
Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah.
You know what? First of all, you hear this clown talk about change. Actually, the real change are the Buchanan and the Tancredo supporters, because we're the ones who are calling for the removal of the illegals out of America, the ending of affirmative action, a massive tax cuts, lower tax cuts for this country, ending abortion on demand. So we actually really are the change, folks. Always remember that. And I'm glad finally for years I used to harp on this about the phony Republicans. A lot of people didn't believe it. I used to call up about Powell. They used to hang up on me on talk radio. They used to call me names, the R word and everything. I said Powell was a phony, a big phony. All he did was attach himself to the Republican Party because late in his military career, Republicans were winning the presidency, and presidents make the big promotions. And the G and GOP, folks, always remember, is gullible. I'm sure there are some sharp people out there who knew this guy was a phony, this guy Powell, but they didn't want to say anything.
It was Reagan who made him the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who gave him the big promotion that really put him into the public eye.
No, it was actually Reagan. When Reagan became president, Powell was a colonel. Reagan is the one who put the stars on him. He made him a general, promoted him to general, and made him the national security advisor near the end.
Okay.
It was Jorge Sr., who made him the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I know who you mean. I know.
Well, you know, Steve, once I found out that he was against kicking Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait, he was against that war. He wasn't
against the war.
He didn't want us to go into Kuwait.
And about the first war.
First,
right, but he no, I don't think he really publicly said that. He said they wanted to remove.
No, you found
that was Jorge Sr.'s policy.
Yeah, but they found out later on that he was against it, but he went along with it because he was being a good soldier.
Right.
But then later on, we found out that he was one of the ones that urged him to end it after 100 hours before they finished the job. And at that go ahead.
If I may ask you, because this is something that has been puzzling me for a while. Now, there is a clip where Dick Cheney, back in during the first Gulf War, he is on the record saying, you know, that, you know, we should not go and dispose of Saddam Hussein, and he was giving the reasons why we should not do this. And people who are opposed to the war play this clip as to say, like, see, at one point, this is Dick Cheney, and all of these things that he said would happen actually came true when we got rid of Saddam Hussein, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now, from what I'm understanding, is this because it's not really because of Cheney, but it's really because of Colin Powell's?
No.
He was one of the ones that urged him to end it after 100 hours instead of going to Baghdad and actually getting rid of Saddam Hussein.
Right, but you got to remember, you got to deal in time periods. The time period that was at that time. But first, let me get back to Powell. Powell was a longtime supporter of abortion. He's a longtime supporter of open
affirmative
borders.
Action.
He supports race quotas, affirmative action. This guy.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was suspicious with the war, right. And then when I heard he was for affirmative action, then I knew what this guy was.
Right, he was just a con artist. He conned the Republicans. The Republicans were winning the presidency. He wanted to move up in the military, and that's why he did. He made a ton of cash. He didn't write no book, but someone wrote it for him. He just put in some words in there. But the thing with him is he attached himself to the Republican Party because they were winning the presidency, and they make the promotions in the military. But getting back to the Gulf War, the first Gulf War there, again, you got to realize the Iran-Iraq war was going on for 8 years. That war had just ended in that time period. They were slaughtering each other. They used Saddam Hussein basically as a buffer against Iran. That's the problem. Iran, if you remember, you got to go back in the time frame. Iran is really the big enemy in that time period. They're the ones who blow up the Marines in the Marine barracks. They're the ones who, obviously the embassy was invaded in 79. So in the mindset of the American people, Iran was the big enemy at the time. Most American people didn't even know what the hell Iraq was or who Saddam Hussein was at the time. That's what you have to realize. And when he went into Kuwait, he went into that little tiny area. You know, basically they want the Bush administration wanted him out of Kuwait, and that's what they said was the goal, to get him out. The reason, of course, too, is if you went into Baghdad at that time period, I mean, what are you going to happen? You're going to open a can of worms. That's what they were thinking at the time. I know many people would call and talk radio, finish the job, and do this. But, you know, it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, too.
No, it was the UN resolution said that it did. It was only to kick Saddam out of Kuwait,
right.
And that's what George Bush was following.
Right.
And, of course, he had to follow that. But,
right.
Colin Powell, he wanted it to end after 100 hours because he wasn't for it in the first place. You know, even if they didn't finish the job in Kuwait, he wanted to end it.
But he didn't have the job. But he didn't have the first and the last word. That was just one opinion in that circle.
No, to me, it seemed like everything that this guy believed in and said, it was coming from a pacifist point of view.
Right, but that we know that. But the point I'm making is it wasn't him. Why the reason why they ended the war? I mean, they were relying. They basically relied on the military guys in the Pentagon too, on what it would take. But then again, you go back into that time period, you got to remember, too, you could have called that World War III, right? Remember all the countries that supposedly were on board and everything, and they were all – and the Muslim countries said, if you remove them from Kuwait, we'll be with you, but if you go into Baghdad, we won't back you in that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember they also said with Israel, the same thing, they didn't want Israel part of it. The whole thing is political, right?
And they tried Israel –
and they were
Israel
shooting bombs. They were
– they started bombing Israel.
Right, they were sending missiles into Israel, and everybody was going, Israel is going to retaliate. No, they're not, because George Bush and the American government is going to tell them, don't you do anything, and they're going to have to listen to what the United States says. That's the way it is. I mean, when you look back in that time period, always remember, you got to go back into the time period. That Iran-Iraq war was a bloody war, and went on for 8 years. And that happens right after that war ended. So it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, but it's you got to really go into that time set. But Powell, to me, was always a fraud. And you talk about Obama groupies. Hey, the Republicans had the Powell groupies in 95. When Powell's book came out in 95, they all wanted him to run for president, even though he supported open borders, affirmative action, and all kinds of nonsense and abortion. He's the man. Everyone makes fun of the Obama supporters. Wait. We had a ton of those groupies on the Republican side, too, back in 95. And they were talking about him being the president when he didn't even announce. And, again, if you notice what the media does, a Buchanan and Tancredi will be silenced. That was the bottom line. They and the people, the phony Republicans who are coming in, out now, who are endorsing Obama, every one of these people always would knock Buchanan. Oh, he can't win. He can't do. Oh, Tancredi's one issue. Buchanan's one. Yeah, right. There. What's McCain's issue? I know what the hell his issue is, right?
Well, let me ask you. At this point, knowing what you know now about Obama, you still say that you wouldn't want McCain over Obama?
You've heard my phone calls. You know where I'm going. You know that I'm telling you Obama's going to lose, and McCain is going to...
I hope you're right.
I'm telling you, he's going to lose. You got a like I called it last week, you got a 25 electoral vote tsunami building up in between Pennsylvania and New Hampshire, and those were both Lurch Kerry states, and both of those states are very winnable for McCain. McCain won. You got to remember, McCain won the New Hampshire primary twice. He won it in 2000. He won it in 2008. And remember, in that primary, independent voters can vote. So he, when he wins that primary, he gets the independent vote and he gets the Republican vote when he won it. And folks, that's big in that. That's four electoral votes. Plus the 21 in Pennsylvania, it's 25. That's where I see the thing breaking open. He was in Colorado tonight, I think Durango, Colorado, and you see the notice, folks, you don't see him campaigning in front of any Hispanic audiences. Who's he campaigning in front of? White America, white conservative America, because that's the base that will elect him president, and that's where he's got. That's why I don't fall for that lie about if the Hispanic vote was so big, why isn't he going to the Hispanics and trying to get their votes, right?
Well,
that's a lie.
You know what?
Why.
There's a lot of Hispanics that will not vote for Obama because they'd rather see a Hispanic White House before a black guy.
But also there's a lot of Hispanics who like to say, hey, I'd like to see the white guy lose, too. Let's talk the way reality.
John Kerry was... John Kerry made some kind of obnoxious remark this week. He came out. He was criticizing Bush about something, I think. Or McCain. I forget what. But he can't keep his mouth shut either. So, but...
Right, but you can't.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Well, it's not ridiculous coming from you. That's what we expect from you, like Joe Biden, the other crackpot. Anyway.
Well, Biden, actually, they should put together all his quotes, those funny quotes. They should turn him into a comedian. To me, I think he really is funny. I mean, he's not trying to be funny.
I know, he's ridiculous.
Chuck Graham, state senator's here. Stand up, Chuck, let him see you.
Stand up, the guy.
Oh, God love you. What am I talking about?
what about a three-letter word? Jobs. J-O-B-S.
Yeah.
What about
Joe Biden's planning?
Look, John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class. And it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word. Jobs. J-O-B-S. Jobs.
Joe Biden, I'd like to ask you a question. If I go into Dunkin' Donuts or 7-Eleven, what will I see there?
Yeah.
Right? The guy's a comedian to me. He's a funny
Imagine
dude.
If he's a vice president for 4 years, what we're going to get out of him.
Oh, Gavalt.
Yeah, Barack America.
It's just fun to have him around for 4 years like that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead. They should put him on Saturday Night Live. Or put him on the Gong Show, right?
Yeah, which he's...
This election year, the choice is clear. One man stands ready to deliver change we desperately need. A man I'm proud to call my friend. A man who will be the next president of the United States, Barack America.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you have it.
And, of course, there's the FDR one, so, you know.
Right. Now, but, you know, with McCain, they're afraid to bring up Jeremiah Wright. Jeremiah Wright's also a very good friend of Louis Farrakhan. You really deserve to lose. If you don't want to bring that up, then you really deserve to lose. And the reason they don't bring up the Fannie Mae thing is and the Freddie Mac, obviously, because that guy Raines is a black guy. They're afraid.
Well, that's why they wouldn't listen to anyone who was trying to warn them, because they were more concerned about a black guy looking like a failure than doing something about something that's destroying the financial situation of millions of Americans. But their race with a Maxine Waters type and a liberal Democrat like, what's his name? Oh, the other
Barney
guy,
Frank.
Too. Well, Barney Frank and Chris Dodd. And the other jerk, the black guy who was saying he was PO'd that he was even there today, but that day when they were testifying, They didn't want a black guy to have to be pointed to and say, you're a black failure. You're a failure. You're heading a big organization like this. You're black and you're a failure. They'd rather not lose face as a black person, because somehow they think of one black person as a failure. That makes all black people a failure.
Well, they're just a bunch of cowards. They don't want to go after the guy.
They should back the millions that Franklin Raines got because of his appointment to Fannie Mae by Bill Clinton. He was appointed to that position. He took all those millions.
Yeah.
And if they need a couple of million, a few million here, a few million there, take it back from Franklin Raines. This guy deserves to be in jail. Yeah. And that they just let him go on, and he's a top advisor to Abominable in this campaign, and the news media that is not only in the tank but deep in the toilet, they have not exposed this Franklin Raines for the crook that he is.
Yeah, and Gregory Meeks, a Democrat from Queens, was the guy I was talking about.
Well,
the other guy.
You know something funny? First of all, they talk. You know, but before I say this, Joe Biden. You know, they don't even bring up his record. He's one of the guys who voted to gut the CIA.
Yeah.
He was there. He was there when they cut off the funding to the South Vietnamese, which caused the collapse of the South Vietnamese.
On the verge of victory, by the way.
Of course. It handed them the victory to North Vietnam. They don't even bring that up. Buchanan brought that up in his column today about the South Vietnamese thing. And also, he was against the long-term missiles, the Persian missiles being put.
Yeah, he was wrong on everything.
Right, the Persian missiles put in Germany, and also SDI, which Gorbachev even said basically bankrupt us. We couldn't keep up with the U.S. But the thing with the CIA thing, people have to realize when they gutted out the CIA, it turned into a hollow shell. Look what happens.
I know.
Our embassy is taken over.
9/11 happened. That's what happened.
Well, but I'm talking about right after that. This is in the 70s, but I'm saying they had the embassy taken over in Iran. People forget that same month. People don't even remember that. They burnt the U.S. embassy down to the ground in Pakistan that same month of 79, and actually we incurred the first death. A United States Marine was murdered that day who was on guard duty for that. And then you had the barracks that were blown up. The barracks are blown up. Hey, maybe we could have used better CIA intelligence at that time. Look at all those boys that died over there, right?
Yep,
people don't realize, too, because that barrack was built over on a runway, on an airport, and it was all open ground. The French paratroopers were murdered within seconds later. Their barracks were blown up. They heard the explosion. The French paratroopers, they ran out to their terraces. They ran out to see what happened, to actually try to get ready to come over there and help. And within seconds, they were blown up, actually looking from their windows and terraces to see what happened. They were killed within seconds, about 50 of those guys. But it goes to show you, that should be brought up, because gutting out the CIA is big. It caused calamities and catastrophes and endless heartache for tremendous amount of
Americans. He's got blood on his hands, there's no doubt. Steve, we're going to wrap up.
Right.
Because we're going to get going.
Cinderella got to take her pumpkin and
go Cheryl's home. Already here an hour longer than she agreed to.
Thank you so much, Cheryl.
I thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, news guy. Steve, it's going to be the Phillies in 7.
We'll see.
Okay.
The only thing I look at is I think the Rays have a little better pitching, but then anything could happen.
Anything can happen.
Plus, you're going back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The Philly fans are, you know.
Well, why I say
burn, baby, burn! No, Bernie goes boom.
Why I say the Phillies? Because I'm listening on the radio, and Harry Callis, the radio announcer, says 80-80-08. Well, 80 is when Ronald Reagan won, and 08. Is when John McCain will win.
And 80s, and 80 is when the Phillies won last.
That was what Harry Callis meant.
Yeah.
Right, and all you need is Mike Schmidt, then I'd make you guys a favor. You get Mike Schmidt back. But, you know, I like to add something, too. Politically, they keep talking about these young voters who are going to, first of all, the young voters don't come out and vote. A lot of the kids are away in college. They're all screwed up. They don't know if they're voting in the state that they're in.
But a lot of these kids, you got to realize, too, they're on the computer. They're seeing all this stuff that's going on. They see all the stuff that doesn't get into the mainstream media. A lot of these kids are well-informed because of the computer, and they are savvy. And all they got, if any young kids are listening, I tell you, Google the Seminole Liberation Army and the Weatherground, the Weatherman Underground, and you'll notice they're basically white. They're all white. I think the Seminole Liberation Army had maybe one or two blacks in it. They're white groups, militant terrorist groups, who are for liberating the blacks. It goes to show you what screwballs are out there.
Yeah.
Well, what I resent, because I was involved in a college forum this past summer, what I resent is these ACORN groups, which are indoctrinating the people involved in the forums on the Democrat side to look to get the college students to what I call double vote. I had said this to the state committee man. I said, there's fraud going on. This is with ACORN. And he said to me, in the state, the students in the state cannot double vote. You cannot register at the college address, and you cannot register at your home address. Where the computer problem comes in, where they have to correct the computer problem, and they got to do it right here and now, because ACORN is behind this.
Well, right.
Out-of-state students, they are looking to absentee ballot in the state they live in, and they're looking to vote at the college where they attend. But it's a double vote, and this is with ACORN, and this is fraud.
Right. Well, if anyone's listening in Florida, I mean, if Daffy Duck is online in front of you to vote, you know, then call the police or something. You know?
Yeah.
But you, because you're smart, of course, exactly what you're saying is correct. And you're, because you're smart, you're able to look at scenarios that could possibly happen. Most people can't think that way. But you know what? There's really no cross-checking. There's no mechanism out there that cross-checks somebody who registers in New Jersey and maybe he's going to school in Alabama or something. There really is no cross-check.
Yeah, that's where the problem is.
Yeah. But you are absolutely right. Let's just hope they're voting twice for McCain.
Let's hope so.
Anyone down in Florida, if Mickey Mouse or Daffy Duck is online in front of you, you know to call the whatever they have to call to tell them.
There you go. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Thank you, News Guy. I'm going to send you some more material.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I have to find out how to upload that stuff to for articles on things that people can use to prove how wrong the left has been on everything.
Yes. Well, and you know, if you can come up with, like you were talking, you have another section about, you know, with the 80s and showing how Reagan was so good. I mean, we could do an entire section devoted to that, you know.
Yeah, the lies about the deficits and all that.
And so many of the articles that you find in the paper are now still available online, you know, through archives and things like this. So I can always link to those articles as to show them, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And also, if there's any young listeners, Google the FALN and also Google the Black Panthers, too. I mean, a lot of these kids, they listen. That 17-year-old guy is calling up, what was his name before he called up John? He's asking him. If he wants to know
Brock
about Frank and John,
Texas.
Have him call Talk Radio and ask every host, if he's listening, ask every host where Frank, the great Frank of Queens and the great John of Staten Island is and see what happens. They'll all jump out the window.
There you go.
I appreciate that, Steve.
Yes.
And speaking of John and Frank, the Best of John and Frank, Volume 122, will be uploaded tonight. We're going to be playing that right after the show, and then we'll upload it with the show in the archive. So I started to make files out of the first 55 that I'd never played when I originally started to play those tapes over the internet. I didn't make files out of them, so I got to start and do the first 55. I have numbers 56 through 126. I think there's only, I kept saying there's 135, but I couldn't find the other nine. I think we only have 126 volumes, so it'll be nine less volumes that you'll have to wait for. So we've got 9 to go. And so they'll be available on DVD eventually a lot sooner. And once we get them all on DVD, I think they're all going to fit on one DVD. That's amazing. And it's a lot better than sending out 70 CDs that I would have to if every time somebody
wants to. Imagine the bulk rate, the cost of postage alone.
Oh, man. What a...
Achenvei.
And nobody would buy them anyway because, you know, we'd have to cover the expense of buying all those CDs. So what are you going to charge somebody $200 for the best of John and Frank?
Just sell it, John. Just sell them to a radio station. Have them play 24 hours a day.
Oh, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear themselves.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about like a new program manager wouldn't know. He'd put on and say, hey, this sounds good. Who are these guys?
They could play them instead of having a live host.
Yeah. And they got all the vitamin shows on now and everything.
Yeah. You know, John, I think that you hit on something accidentally, a new radio format.
Yeah.
You know, like they have classic rock. This is like classic talk radio.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've got the Bob Grant, the early years, I have like 8 volumes of that.
Right, right.
You know, the way he used to be.
So it's like a new radio format. I could see it taking off somewhere.
Yeah, the Sliwa Wars, Dick Oliver Wars, the Al from Queens Wars.
Yeah, Sliwa, he's another phony pretending to be a conservative Republican, right? Yeah,
well, we all know about him. He's strictly for himself, so.
He's an opportunist.
Yeah, well, he's made it.
Well,
he's been around for a long time on radio, so
he was lucky.
You the suckers,
politically connected. It's a whole thing. You know, his talent has little to do with it.
Yeah, if you listen to these hosts are all nonsense. All these hosts, except for Grant, they're all nonsense. Limbaugh is like hee haw. Sean Hooligan is just like Frank says. He's going to talk about what he's going to talk about. And he's not. These guys are really nothing. They're all afraid to bring up illegal immigration. You had the fat man on 500 stations the other day praising the immigrants because he's afraid to bring up the illegals. And you know what it is? It's all what you would call a street hustle they're doing on the people, and that's how they got their positions. And they're really, to me, they're really not talented at all. What drives talk radio, and they're lucky, is because the rest of the media won't cover these stories. So you have a fierce audience that will come and listen. So you call Ted Kennedy some names, and you say, I'm for tax cuts, and you're an isolationist, and people listen. They ain't going to get that nowhere else. But they're not talent. Except for Grant, I don't see no talent out there. Yeah, well, and they're all egomaniacs.
Judge Alioto.
Yeah, there's Teddy Boy right now.
Yeah.
And what about Joni Bertha in Western PA calling his constituencies all names and everything?
Oh, but yeah.
Did you see I just saw a poll recently. The last one that came out, he's up by maybe 3 points, and he's a 20-something year, 30-year veteran in this Congress.
That's the margin of error.
Exactly, right? And then
he always used to run away with it.
Right, he used to win by 10, 20 points, 30. Yeah. Actually, I think he had a couple times no opposition. And then on the other side of PA, directly on the other side, Eastern PA, you have the great mayor of Hazleton, Lou Barletta, who's winning his congressional district over another guy who's been there like 25, 26 years, and he's actually leading in the polls. So there you have two guys who are running against incumbent, entrenched incumbents who are winning in PA, which is also a good sign for McCycle, because if there's a big voter turnout, I believe they could win, they could win Pennsylvania. Republicans can win it. Yeah. Pennsylvania. Lurch Kerry won that state by 2.5 percentage points. Not by much.
And the guy who's running against Murtha is a Gulf War vet. He's still enlisted on some level, and so that would be even a better thing, you know, to put somebody like that in against Murtha.
Right. I believe he's in the reserves, or he's.
Well, let's hope they have coattails.
Well, you know what happens. But you know what happens. You will have coattails. If it's extremely high voter turnout, like with Barletta, with the issue he's bringing up, and plus everything else that he brings to the table, you will have a very high voter turnout, and that could put them over the top.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania,
believe it or not, I mean.
And let's remind people a little bit of John Murtha when he suggested that in the future he may take a bribe if it's offered.
I love Anderson. Okay. And it is a point. Okay. You know, we do business for a while. Maybe I'll be interested, maybe I won't.
Now, that's he's telling people who are offering him a bribe. If we do business and I get to know you in a little while, maybe I'll take that bribe from you if I can trust you.
Right, and so, then he dumped on the Marines too, who he's killing them.
Just a despicable individual. Yeah. Where this guy came from, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, you never heard of him.
No, but he's a total freak. I can't believe. You know what it is too? Most people don't even know who their congressman is. So they just go in there and vote.
Yeah.
And that's how he wins. How can you reelect? The guy is a freak.
Yeah.
Listen, he's calling him names. He's calling him all these different type of names.
Yeah, and then he tries to correct it, and he makes it worse.
Right, so, and then he steps it in even deeper.
All right, Steve, we're going to run.
Okay.
And News Guy, thanks a lot for joining us tonight and hanging
Thank
in there.
Thank you again.
And
Thank you.
Steve, spread the word.
Break open the saddlebags, everyone.
I appreciate that, yeah. And we're going to have a volume 122 of The Best of John and Frank. Starting right about now. And News Guy, thanks a lot for all your hard work.
Thank you, everybody. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
All right.
Thanks so much.
All right, good night, everyone. And Frank will be back next week. Join us same bat time, same bat station next Friday night, 10 o'clock, for The Right Perspective. Good night, everyone.